of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, will you call roll, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ms. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Bryson?
Present.
Mr. Edwardson?
Here.
Ms. Budzinski?
Here.
Ms. Hale?
Here.
Ms. Hughes Candy?
Here.
Mr. Jones? Ms. Preen?
Here.
Mayor Weldon?
Here.
A quorum is present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. So we'll move on to special order of business. Can I call Mr. Barr up, please? And Ms. Turner?
All the way. No, you've got to be up here. So, hello, everyone. My name is Robert Barr. I'm the library director for the city. And for those of you who don't know her, this is Kathy Turner. Kathy is retiring from the city after 23 years of service. So Kathy's been with the library for 3 years of those 23. And before that, she was with building maintenance for 11. We waged a successful campaign to convince her to come over to our department. And before that, with JPD for 9 years. And you worked in evidence, is that?
Yeah,
drug enforcement. So Kathy's our admin assistant at the library, which for those of you who know admin assistants know that that basically means that she runs the place. We department directors like to think that we're doing stuff, but at the end of the day, if the nuts and bolts of things don't get taken care of, you know, your operation stops running. And when I was reflecting on what I wanted to take a minute about to share about Kathy's many admirable qualities tonight, the thing that I kept coming back into my mind was about customer service. Kathy is one of those people that exemplifies every day what it means to provide great customer service. And for her, unlike the rest of my staff, whose public customer service was more public-facing, for her it's all about internal customer service and serving our fellow colleagues, our coworkers, whether that's other library staff or other staff in the broader CBJ. And, you know, I've come to recognize that one of the reasons why I think I see this in you is because of the many years of experience that you've dedicated to honing those skills of really communication and, like, being able to empathize with other people and really understand how different people work so that they can, so that, you know, the thing that you do the best is you help other people be effective at their work. And I'm going to miss that a whole lot. And that's one of the many things that I'm going to remember. So thank you so much for 23 years.
Yay. No chicken?
Ms. Turner?
Yeah, I was going to say, where's the gauntlet?
Congratulations.
It's been great. I'm going to so miss you. Miss you too. Thank you for having charge of those keys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
It's been great.
Thank you for your service.
Okay, you. Y'all think about new job at CBJ.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're moving on to special recognition, and I see Mr. Yucatel's coming up, so that's perfect. And Mr. Gillette, would you come up also?
Wow. Thank you. I'm Carl Yucatel. I'm the port director, and I've had the pleasure of working with Gary for the last 8 years in Docks and Harbors. Gary is also retiring at the end of the month after 29 years working for the city. Part of that time was at CDD, then at engineering, and about the last decade was with Docks and Harbors. And he just has a wealth of knowledge and just about everything that goes on in the city. If anybody is... I don't think Gary can be replaced, and it's with every heart that we send him off today. But if you think back in the last 10 years, what he's done at docks and harbors, transformational changes in the harbors. If you think about the downtown cruise ship docks and what's going on at Stater Harbor, Douglas Harbor, Aurora Harbor, these are things that just in the last 10 years, he's executed over $130 million worth of work, half in the harbors, half in the docks. And so we've just really, he's going to leave a big void in the department. We will wish him the best because he's got a lot of other great talents to serve the community. He's been with the CBJ Historic Resources Committee, is that the right term? Forever. I think he's supposed to term out, but they keep pulling him back. Him and his beautiful wife, Renee, also operate the Last Chance Mining Museum. And Gary's also the caretaker of Sentinel Island Light. And then he's also very involved in the Treadwell Historic District. Park. Treadwell Historical Park. And so he just does so much for so many people. His hands are wide and broad in the city, and we're really going to miss Gary. And we thought about what to get him, and we got him a gold pan. We're thinking nautical term or gold panning, but he's more, I think he's more akin to the gold panning side of his career than he is operating the Last Chance Mining Museum. But we wish Gary the best, and we also have a send-off on the 31st of the last of the month. So, again, Gary, thank you very much for everything you've done and been a mentor for me all these years.
Well, it's been a long career and a great career. And as Carl mentioned, I started out at the Community Development Department. And I thought about what a great place to work. You help people realize their development dreams, and then you tell them what they can't do, what they really wanted to do. So that was fun. And then I moved on to engineering, worked with Mary Becker to complete the $25 million rehab of Juno Douglas High School. And there you had to work with contractors and the architects and often telling them what they can do and what they can't do. So that was fun. Then I moved to Docks and Harbors and really enjoyed working with Docks and Harbors. Both my port directors, John Stone and Carl, have been great to work with. Carl has a great vision of what our harbors and our port is. So it's been especially fun and really appreciate the confidence that he's had in me over the years, and feel very proud of all the things that we've accomplished, especially the Aquilians down on the beach.
These flowers aren't for you, so Renee, would you please come up and accept these flowers?
Thank you. I'll enjoy them all.
Gary, you have to run the gauntlet.
Make it a splash, Rory.
Thanks for the long years.
Sign up for more.
We go way back, too. Yeah.
Great job, sir. Thank you. Whoops.
We'll pause for a second for a little loss control going on.
Dear. God, it was you, not me. You're good.
All right. Would Mr. Bartholomew come up, please? First, the formal stuff. Okay, so we have a proclamation honoring Bob Bartholomew, who has been our finance director and helped us through some difficult times, and we fared fairly well under his reign. So here we go. Whereas Bob Bartholomew has a long history of public service, which has benefited the citizens of the state of Alaska and the city and borough of Juneau, And whereas Bob first arrived in Juneau in the mid-80s, on an auditing assignment at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities from Coopers and Libren CPA firm in Anchorage, and had the good sense to relocate to Juneau. And whereas Bob has held several key positions for the state of Alaska, including Administrative Services Director at the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Assistant Director of the Income and Excise Tax Division at the Department of Revenue, and Chief Operating Officer of the Permanent Fund Corporation. And whereas Bob also had a 12-year parallel career with CBJ as a volunteer firefighter, where he achieved the rank of Volunteer District Fire Chief for Douglas. And whereas Bob is well known for his periods of intermittent retirement during his career, where he focused on firefighting, climbing Denali, sailing trips, and other great Alaskan adventures. And whereas after one of these periods of intermittent retirement, Bob had the good sense to come to work for CBJ as the project manager for the implementation of our two enterprise data systems. And whereas after yet another period of intermittent retirement, on May 14, 2012, Bob became the CBJ finance director. And whereas during his tenure as finance director, Bob helped create and monitor 7 budgets, perfected the art of translating complex financial data into digestible information for the assembly, provided sound financial guidance, and earned the trust of many CBJ assemblies. And whereas Bob will have more time to spend with his wife, Kay, the kids, Rich, Buck, and Candace, and his grandchildren, Chloe, Donica, Ethan, and Mason. Now, therefore, I, Beth A. Weldon, Mayor of the City and Borough of Juneau, Alaska, on behalf of the City and Borough Assembly, do hereby issue this proclamation honoring Bob Bartholomew for his many years of public service with the CBJ and elsewhere, and for being an all-around good guy, and wishing him a happy and well-deserved retirement. Before I hand the mic over to our illustrious city manager, this is a treat from your assembly. Notice it is wrapped in old finance paperwork, but open that at home. And Kay, when you're finance director, you're married to the job sometimes, and you forget that you have a spouse. So this is for you for putting up with all his late nights at the city. So.
We have 2 further gifts that are symbolic of Bob's contributions to the city. And one of the things that I really want to call out is Bob's ability to communicate complicated financial issues. And he's done that in his own way. And he's done that repeatedly. So I went looking and I found our municipal finance decision-making tool. And you won't believe this, but it was still in the packaging.
Amazing.
And the Rubik's Cube, you can hold the microphone for me. The Rubik's Cube of finances, as Bob often alluded to, we've got this customized city Rubik's Cube that we're going to retire with Bob. On the green side, we have the revenue this year. Red is our expenditures. Yellow is our operational, our debt mill levy, and our total mill levy. The divisions that he supervised. He's got to keep all his financial forecasts in line. And, of course, a number of policy issues as well. And I'd be tempted to give it to Mr. Rogers and ask him to spin it around and lower the numbers on the red side. But I know he's going to have to communicate about that in a different way. So we're going to miss Bob and his ability to talk about municipal finances in a way that made it accessible to city staff, the assembly, and the public. And that's not always easy. You can go 5 blocks up the hill and you can see them having a hard time talking about financial topics. So we're going to retire this Rubik's Cube with you, and I think it's just really symbolic of your contribution. The other gift that we have for Bob is symbolic, I think, of 2 of his loves. One is the city. The other is baseball, and so the assembly and the manager and the attorney and the clerk and a couple of the Empower board directors, we're your last CBJ baseball team. We've all signed this ball for you. You can put it on the mantle. And maybe you'll get a World Series victory again sometime. But it's with a lot of happiness that we wish Bob well in his retirement. He's really earned it. And it's also sad because we're losing a really strong team member who supports managers and the assembly and all of the city departments. And we're going to miss that. It's left big shoes to fill. So we hope these two little symbols of your contributions help send you on your way.
That's great. All right. So I guess I just have a couple words to say. One, that really Juneau is a special place. And I'm living here because there was a volunteer fire department. I looked around, where do I want to live, and lots of options. But the fact that Juneau had a volunteer fire department, I was like, okay, I can get back to the community that way. And the other part of it is I just ended up by happenstance to be working for government. And I didn't start out that way. I certainly didn't plan it that way. And it took me many years to realize that it actually is a career. Public service and being a public official is a real career, and so I embraced it and embraced it with staff and with the community. So that's also been rewarding for me. The other thing I learned about government is it's a lot better to work for local government. And the higher you get up, the more bizarre you get. And so I really appreciated the assembly and working with them. And I want to give this assembly and the previous assemblies kudos for two things. One was just their willingness to make hard financial decisions. So we've always been a pretty stable financial organization, and I think that just carries on from assembly to assembly. And the other one was when we had one of our major industries kind of disagree with us and challenge us in court, and the assembly stuck together as a team through many changes. And again, they just kept their eye on the ball. So local government, to me, has been working, and I appreciate it. And it's given me a career, and it's given me the opportunity to give back to the community, which came really through the fire department. And I really appreciate it. And we have great staff at CBJ. I mean, they generate a lot of professionals, and it's a really good place to work, and I appreciate it. So thank you. Won't really miss working.
You take care.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You guys can disappear. Whoa.
Welcome to the spotlight.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Too much. I feel warm.
You guys are welcome to stay, but you can disappear. So that will bring us on to approval of minutes. Mrs. Beckers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the minutes be approved. There were some corrections, not in every one of them, but in a couple. And Ms. Kewen and I went through them and had a lovely chat, and they're all perfect now.
Madam Mayor.
And I, yes.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask for approval of minutes and ask for unanimous consent.
Ms. Hale, do you have a correction to make?
Yes, please. It's on page 18, and it's just a kind of an odd one. And I spoke with Ms. McEwen, and we agreed that I would bring it up at the at our meeting here. So on page 18, the last paragraph, operating budget for FY20. This is the line that says, Mr. Stevens said that the operating budget is at $3 million, and I'd like to correct that to the this is for the hospital. The operating budget bottom line is at $3.7 million. So just put in bottom line after operating budget.
Could you tell me again where that was? I'm in the 47 instead of the 18.
Sorry,
no more. All
right, Madam Clerk, have you noted that change?
Okay. I have. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, do we have approval of the minutes with that change? Any objections? Seeing, hearing none, minutes are approved. Thank you, Ms. Becker. We'll move on to the manager. Any requests for agenda changes?
No, thank you.
All right, that brings us to public participation on non-agenda items. And I don't know, is Cathcart, could you bring up, there's four people signing up right there. Okay. Is there anybody on non-agenda items, Ms. Cathcart? Okay, thank you. So it looks like we have two for non-agenda items. So we will allot them 4 minutes apiece, and the first one is Carla Hart, followed by Kirby Day. Ms. Hart.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Carla Hart. I live on the Back Loop, and I'm here today to talk to you about leakage, and specifically financial leakage from Juneau. A review of the Juneau Visitor Profile and Economic Impact Study of 2016 that was prepared by the McDowell Group for Travel Juneau found that cruise visitors spent $162. And they said the bulk of the cruise visitor spending occurred in tours, activities, and entertainment, $95 per person per trip, and gift souvenirs and clothing, $53. I searched the report to see if the word leakage is once mentioned, as it's an important concept when you're talking about an economic impact. Leakage is not mentioned. Leakage is the money that leaves an economy rather than recirculating. This is a critical factor when talking about the cruise industry. I'll use the helicopter tourism industry as an example today. In Juneau, we have three helicopter tour companies, Temsco, Coastal, and North Star Trekking. While each was once an independent company, all three are now under the same ownership. Sitting on the boards of Temsco, North Star, and Coastal are the same officers. The owner is THI Inc. of Ketchikan. Who owns THI Inc.? Survey Point Holdings, also of Ketchikan. Who owns Survey Point Holdings? 25% is held by the Berto Family Trust. Bob Berto is a long player in Alaska, Alaskan player in the stevedoring and cruise tourism industry with extensive holdings and involvement beyond helicopter tours. 25% is owned by James B. Tarot with a Ketchikan address listed. He appears to have many close ties with businesses with the Berto family. The other 50% is owned by Carex Inc. Carex is based in Seattle and from its press description is the largest U.S.-owned and the largest privately held container terminal operator and cargo handling company in the world. They own 50% of all the helicopter tour companies in Juneau, and their officers serve on the boards of all the helicopter tour companies in Juneau. So we have 100% of the ownership and 100% of the control of the helicopter tourism outside of Juneau, with 50% outside of Alaska. That means 100% of the corporate profits leave Juneau. Let's look at some operating costs and leakage. Tour prices on the cruise ships vary from line to line, and there are a variety of tours operated. Some include dog sledding and glacier trekking. For the purposes of our discussion today, I will use the $350 Mendenhall Glacier helicopter and guided walk, which is 2.5 hours long and includes transfers, 30 minutes in a helicopter, and 25 minutes on the glacier. From all the reports I can find, the cruise industry takes 40 to 50% commission on tours they sell. If anyone has other information that they'd like to provide that's verifiable, but that's the best I can find. With the consolidated and combined purchasing power of Holland America, Princess, and Carnival under Carnival Corporation, they stress in their financials that they leverage their negotiating power to maximize return to the corporation. So figuring a 50% commission, the cruise lines get $175 of the tour costs and $175 goes to the helicopter company. Part of the $175 goes to pay for the bus transfer, which is likely owned by the cruise lines. In 1984, I worked for Temsco. $10 went to each transfer. With an inflation calculator, that's roughly $25 today. From the remaining $150, the helicopter company must pay for a helicopter. A used A-Star 350 turbine helicopter in Texas is listed today for $1.1 million. That would mean that 100% of 7,333 passengers at $150 each would buy a single helicopter. We do not manufacture helicopters in Juneau. That's 100% leakage. But a helicopter doesn't fly without fuel. Conveniently, THI Inc., owned by Survey Holdings, also owns Coastal Fuel, which sells the helicopter fuel. So they provide their aviation fuel. We don't produce a refined fuel in Juneau, so 100% of the cost of the products and profits leave Juneau. Helicopters have accidents from time to time. Insurance for liability and most likely for aircraft is required. We don't have helicopter insurance in Juneau, even if there's a broker, so 100% of the substantial premiums leave the town. Helicopters require pilots. It's intensely seasonal, and the pilots come from outside of Juneau. That money is lost to Juneau. I'll wait until after the meeting to share with you the revenue we get from them.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Hart. Any questions for Ms. Hart?
Thank you, Ms. Hart. I know you said you'd wait until after the meeting, the revenue.
Take a second bite at public comments.
Can you give us it very briefly?
It would take me about 1 minute.
You can have 1 minute.
Thank you, Mayor.
So, revenues to CDJ, they can pay a combined, the three companies, about $146,000 in local property taxes. If I divide that by the population, we collect about $5 per Juneau resident for the noise and impacts that we have flying over us. I don't know the business taxes they pay because that's not publicly available. Sales tax, we should be getting a bunch of sales tax off of them, but the helicopter and flight seeing industry managed to get Congress and the Alaska State Legislature to exempt them from local taxation for their flights. So we don't get any sales tax from the flight portion, and I've never been able to get, no harm to our former director, any director to explain to me how they understand how the portion of the tour is calculated. So I don't know if we're getting bamboozled by the helicopter companies or not with what we actually collect on the small portion that we can on sales tax. So only the value of the bus transfer and the time on the glacier is subject to city sales tax. There's a scattering of other fees. The Forest Service gets some fees that come back to Juneau. There are some aviation fuel taxes that go to support the airport. But in summary, you have a tremendous leakage. Very little of the money that's generated through the helicopter tourism stays in Juneau. And I will be back to you later this summer because I've been looking at the business holdings of all the businesses in town Juneau, who owns the buildings and who owns the businesses. It's a pretty sad picture of the return that we're getting for the impacts that we're having. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Hart? Thank you, Ms. Hart. Okay, next we have Kirby Day.
Thank you. Kirby Day, 1302 Tarn Court, Princess Cruises and Tourism Best Management Practices. I won't take my 4 minutes. Just want to let you know that one of the projects we've been talking about to try to guide pedestrians to crosswalks and things like that downtown, especially from the Red Dog to the tram, started today thanks to the CBJ and DOT. The stanchion program is starting on the uphill side right at Manila Square. And when they're finished this week sometime, it'll go as far as the Archipelago crosswalk. And we think that's going to be a big help in that narrow area to guide people, keep on the sidewalk and guide them to the crosswalks. TBMP is staffing that crosswalk now at Archipelago Lot. And as I said before, if this works, and it should work because it works in other places around the world, and it works in Ketchikan, I think the plan would be to look at doing it through both sides of the street all the way down as far as Trove and as far as People's Wharf. That's what we've talked about. So that's a great first step, and I wanted to thank the CBJ Engineering Department, City Management Department, and also DOT, who after 20 years came together and decided this was a good thing. So it's been fantastic. Otherwise, we just continue to look for feedback from the public on tour operations. I think I saw numbers of about an 11% increase over the first 2 months, which is probably right because the rest of that 16% increase will probably come towards the end of the, actually towards July when you've got some extra ships, and then towards the end of the season where they've extended the season a little bit. So, but we welcome your feedback from city management, from the assembly, from the public. Tourism hotline is there. That's why it's there. We've used it effectively this summer to solve quite a few issues, and we're working very closely with neighborhoods downtown on some unique tour activities that are taking place in the neighborhood because there's a business in the neighborhood. But I think we've worked through that neighborhood association, and I think we've landed on our feet on that one. Otherwise, I don't have anything else. Thanks for your support, and I can take questions if you'd like.
Any questions for Mr. Day? Thank you, Mr. Day. Any other member of the public that did not get a chance to sign up for non-agenda items? We'll move on then. Moving on to our consent agenda. Any requests from the public for consent agenda changes other than ordinances for introduction? Seeing and hearing none. Any assembly requests for consent agenda changes? Ms. Bladyshef?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would request that items C and D, the two general obligation bond ordinances, it says to be heard at the next assembly meeting. I would request they go to the COW just to get all of those items before the COW at the same time in case people want to talk about them. And perhaps we can only send back to the assembly one of these two.
Thank you, Ms. Glashefsky. Any objections for C and D to go to the COW? Ms. Hale.
I don't have an objection, but if we're talking about all of them, do we want B to go to, or do we want B to just stand going to the next assembly meeting?
I didn't think there was a reason to talk about it again, but if somebody...
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comment? Seeing and hearing none, can we make those consent agenda changes, please? All right, and that brings us to assembly action. Ms. Bioshef?
I would move the consent agenda as amended.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, consent agenda is approved. So that brings us to public hearing. Item A, Madam Clerk.
Madam Mayor. Sorry, to save my motions. Okay. Ordinance 2019-29, version B. An ordinance amending the CBJ code to allow for the consumption of marijuana by smoking and edibles in licensed marijuana retail facilities with an on-site consumption endorsement.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
In late 2018, Senate Bill 63 went into effect and authorized the Alaska Marijuana Control Board to promulgate regulations to allow on-site marijuana consumption in certain freestanding marijuana facilities. The Marijuana Control Board regulations, 3 AAC 306.370, now allow consumption of marijuana in certain marijuana retail stores. This ordinance would amend CBJ's codes to allow marijuana to be consumed outdoors at a marijuana retail store with an on-site consumption endorsement. Committee of the Whole discussed this topic on April 8, June 10, and July 8, 2019. On July 8, committee amended the ordinance to version B, which would only allow marijuana consumption at a marijuana retail store with an on-site endorsement in a state-approved outdoor location. A memo from the city attorney is in the packet that describes some of the policy considerations discussed at the July 8 Committee of the Whole meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. There are several members of the public who have signed up to testify this. So we'll give everybody 3 minutes. And our first one is Kristen Cox. Please come up and state your name and address.
Kristen. Kristen Cox, 2703 David Street. I just want to thank the Assembly for protecting clean indoor air. We fought hard for the clean indoor air ordinance, and I don't believe anybody wants to roll that back or weaken it at all. We know that inhaling anything but clean air is not safe. Safer is also not safe. We know that ventilation systems do not make the air clean. We know that there are health impacts, including cardiovascular and respiratory impacts to inhaling anything other than clean air, including vaping. I don't believe that on-site consumption is going to eliminate the illegal public consumption of marijuana, just like people still drink outside on the sidewalk, even though we have bars for them to go to. And that's basically all I have to say. Thank you for hearing my testimony.
Thank you, Ms. Cox. Any questions for Ms. Cox? Thank you for your testimony. Okay, next we have Emily Davis.
Hello, my name is Emily Davis. I'm at 2141 Crow Hill Drive. Thank you for your time tonight and for your attention here. I work in tobacco prevention at Search here in Juneau, and I'm not here tonight to question the rights of individuals to use marijuana. However, I do believe that individuals should not consume marijuana in a way that would harm the health and well-being of others. Since marijuana is illegal under federal law, there have been a limited number of studies examining the health risks associated with marijuana use and exposure in the U.S. However, we do know that secondhand marijuana smoke contains many of the same cancer-causing toxic chemicals as secondhand tobacco smoke, including significant levels of mercury, lead, formaldehyde, benzene, hydrogen cyanide, toluene, and three times the amount of ammonia. Secondhand marijuana smoke contains hazardous fine particles that pose a significant health risk to non-smokers. These fine particles can be breathed deeply into the lungs, causing lung irritation, asthma attacks, and an increase in the risk of respiratory infection. They can also exacerbate respiratory conditions like asthma, bronchitis, or COPD. Secondhand marijuana smoke exposure impairs blood vessel function, and even brief exposure has been shown to have immediate adverse effects on the heart. No type of ventilation system will protect the public from the effects of secondhand smoke, vapor, or aerosol. Ventilation may reduce odors, but it will not prevent marijuana smoke or aerosol from moving from the consumption area into other areas of the retail store. A building must be completely smoke-free to eliminate the health effects caused by smoke or aerosol. The burden of proof and responsibility should be placed on anyone in favor of on-site public consumption to prove that secondhand marijuana smoke is safe to their employees and customers before laws are enacted to allow secondhand marijuana exposure in public buildings. Everyone deserves the right to breathe smoke-free air. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Any questions for Ms. Davis? Ms. Treen.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Thank you for coming tonight and testifying. I have a question about the studies and the facts that you mentioned. It sounded to me like you're talking about indoor smoking and vaping. Are they the same for outdoor, either marijuana or tobacco cigarettes?
You're correct. The studies I'm referencing are for indoor smoking. We don't have much for tobacco studies outside, let alone marijuana studies.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any more questions for Ms. Davis? Thank you, Ms. Davis. So next up, we have Justin Jones, and while he's making it, could you folks standing in the doorway come find a seat, please, so you're not blocking the doorway? Thank you. Sorry, my fire department background is showing a little bit, so please don't block our exit.
Justin Jones, 2141A Crow Hill Drive, Douglas. Yake yagi, gunish chisha yadi, yake ikwasatini, hut kwek yuhat duasak. Good evening. My name is Justin Jones. I'm Yunye D. Eagle Wolf. I was born and raised in Juneau. This is my ancestors' land. I want to see a beautiful and thriving hometown. I want to see my ancestors' land, be respected and honored. I want their land to be happy and healthy. I do not want my ancestors' land exploited by the tourism industry and changed so that tourists can do whatever they want on this beautiful land. I do not want to see marijuana tours or more marijuana retail shops opened up. Please care for the health of non-smokers. Honor our Clean Indoor Act and do not allow on-site consumption. Ganesh Jeesh.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. Any questions for Mr. Jones? Seeing none, thank you for your testimony. Okay, that brings us to Ben Wilcox. Please state your name and address, please.
My name is Benjamin Wilcox. I reside at 125 Wire Street, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak here again. Just here to kind of maybe hope for, again, some rational thought on this matter. We discussed vaping in the last meeting, and I don't believe that the facts were presented. Marijuana does not contain all these benzenes, hexenes, ammonias. Those are tobacco. Those are added chemicals to tobacco. They are very, very different substances. You know, I'm a lifelong non-driver. I have to be subjected to the fumes from traffic every single day when I walk down the street. You know, we have studies that show that burning meat is carcinogenic, yet we allow restaurants to do that with proper ventilation. We allow employees to work in paint shops and welding shops with proper ventilation. All of these things are allowed in other industries. If we're looking for 100% safety, we're not Alaska. We have crabbing. We have oil. We have lots of industries that people go to with a willingness. Same with this industry. People that don't like cannabis aren't going to walk in the door. They're not going to subject themselves. I think that the ordinance as it stands, allowing outdoor, would be minimally acceptable. We were discussing some indoor options. I think vaping and edibles is indoor, and consumption of combustibles outdoor would be a very nice compromise. It would help this industry move along. This is a locally state-owned only industry. There is no leakage in this industry. It stays in the state. The money is here. The people starting these businesses are here. We are not owned by other people. We are not owned. We don't owe. That's what we're here to do, is build this economy. We're just hoping for the chance to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Wilcox. Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Wilcox?
Thank you. Seeing
here none, thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jennifer Canfield. Hopefully I'm saying that right.
My name is Jennifer Canfield. I'm one of the co-owners of Green Elephant. I reside at 101 Mill Street. I'm here quite simply to ask you to allow us to do what ballot measure 2 was intended to allow us to do, which was to provide an on-site consumption venue for our customers. It was in the language of the ballot measure. When people voted for ballot measure 2, edibles, vaping, concentrates weren't really a thing in Alaska, and they're still catching on. So my understanding of the way people must have thought of ballot measure 2 and the words on-site consumption was smoking, pure and simple. I understand there's concerns, health concerns with smoking. I think the people here who've spoken about it have stated them perfectly fine. And the only thing I would disagree with was what Mr. Wilcox also pointed out, is a lot of the chemicals that they claim is in marijuana is not. We find those in cigarettes that are, you know, mixed with other chemicals. Is smoking cannabis completely harmless? No. And no one's here to argue that. People want the right to do what they're going to do anyway. We'd like to keep it off the streets. We're just trying to offer a safe place for people to do that. I don't know for a fact that illegal outdoor consumption is going to go away as a result of this. People can still smoke vape cartridges pretty discreetly. They can eat edibles anywhere they feel like it. Smoking a joint is a lot harder to do out on the street without it being detected. And we'd simply like to just put it where it belongs, in a place away from other people who don't want to be exposed to it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Canfield. Any questions for Ms. Canfield? Thank you. And John Nemeth? Apologize for the mispronunciation if I did.
Hello, everyone. My name is John Nemeth. I live at 1220 Glacier Avenue here in Juneau. Thank you all for the opportunity to allow us to speak on this subject, and thank you all for your openness and you know, allowing the possibility for outdoor consumption. I definitely think it's a step in the right direction. Mr. Wilcox and Ms. Canfield have made my job easy because I fully support everything that they've stated. I also agree that we haven't had the opportunity to study the substance as long as certain other substances. However, what has been found out within the last 5 years is quite contrary to what some have said about cigarette smoking. Cannabis is not the same. It does not contain those same harmful ingredients. I'm not saying that it is a healthy means, but I'm also being active in the industry. More people are tending to lean towards edibles and other vaping methods or means of consumption as people are turning away from cigarettes. People are turning away from cannabis smoking as well. There's definitely a shift. I think that the regulations here in Juneau need to remain open to the fact that we should have an indoor space. I think that most indoor spaces are not going to allow smoking anyway, but having the ability for, you know, a cafe to open up to offer edibles to their consumers as well as coffees and things of that nature, I think, is important. So I think to close the door on indoor consumption for smoking would be a step in the wrong direction, and also a step in the wrong direction to keep people off the streets from doing it, because as of right now, as stated, we do have bars for people to drink, but people still drink on the street. Well, right now, we have cannabis, which is legal, and it's not going anywhere. And those people, are the only place they have to consume is on the street if they don't do it within their own homes. So the reality is more people are doing it outside. Let's give them a safe place to consume that is controlled, regulated, and where we can also control how people are consuming and making sure that they're consuming safely and leaving the premises safely and not endangering themselves or the public.
Thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Nemeth. And next we have Tony Warren.
Hi, thank you. I'll be quick. My name is Tony Warren. I'm at 713 Fifth Street. I've lived and paid taxes downtown for more than a decade. I'm not affiliated with the industry in any way, but I am pro-business. I think it's important to support the businesses. I'm also pro-consumer. I think that more choices are always better for the consumer rather than fewer. And I don't think the city should turn its nose up at any potential revenue stream right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Warren. Do we have any questions for Mr. Warren? Thank you for your testimony. Okay, that brings us to Lillian Petershore.
Good evening. My name is Lillian Petershore. I live at 9453 Herbert Place. I am a descendant of Cowie Eat, and I'm a descendant of Anatahosh. I am of the Yanyedi clan, and my grandfather was of the Akwan. My ancestors chose to live in this beautiful area. I choose to live in this beautiful area because it gives a quality of life that I and my family enjoy. And so it's important for me to be here tonight to share my views on the prospect of having more license for marijuana smokers to smoke in a business or outside that business in the outdoors. On my way here, I called my granddaughter, who is going to be 12 years old. She won an essay contest, and she won this at Glacier Valley School, and it was for her position on marijuana and on other drugs. And I said, Ilana, what do you want me to say to the assembly? And she says, Grandma, tell them marijuana is bad for the body. It damages the body. So I wanted you to hear that. And then I want to juxtapose it with the words of Matthew Springer. He is an associate professor of medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Smoke is smoke. Both tobacco and marijuana smoke impair blood vessel function similarly. People should avoid both. And governments who are protecting people against secondhand smoke exposure should include marijuana in those rules. So I'm here to say, let's not undo the gains that we have made. Youth, young people are very vulnerable, and we have as a society endeavored to help them realize that smoking is not good and secondhand smoke is not good either. And I think to give more license right now would be bad. When you give license, it's only a matter of time before more license is wanted. And so I think we have to be very deliberate about this. And I really urge you to think about this very seriously and to think about your grandchildren, the children of this community. They're very vulnerable. If they see places becoming more accessible to smokers, then that sends a message to them. I want to share an experience. I know all of us probably have been around marijuana smoke and cigarette smoke. I know I find it very uncomfortable. I worked at the federal building for 12 years. I was coming down the stairwell, and someone was coming in from a smoking break, and their clothes reeked of smoke. I could feel, as they approached me, I could feel my chest tightening, and I could feel very uncomfortable in my lungs, and it took a while. So realize, smoke gets in clothes. People may leave from this business. They may go to the movies, the bowling alley. They may sit on a bus. The smoke may be in their clothes, and should others be subjected to it? So obviously you know that how I feel on this, and I really hope that you will keep this thought in your mind, that a cardiovascular researcher with the University of California says that you have a responsibility because secondhand smoke exposure to marijuana is not good for the human body. Okay, thank you for
thank
your
you,
time.
Ms. Petershore. Any questions for Ms. Petershore? Thank you for your time. Did anybody else want to testify on this subject that did not get a chance to sign up? Okay. We'll bring it back to the assembly. Ms. Lashes?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have a proposed amendment. When I read this ordinance.
Can I have a motion first before you amend it?
Oh. Sure. I move the ordinance 2019-29B. And I have a proposed amendment. I'll pass it out. I guess I should take one. If you look on page 404 about the definition of public place, when we talked about this, we talked about having smoking outside, and we were vague on the edibles. And I don't see any reason why you can't have edibles inside and smoking outside. So this amendment would do that. It would add the words, the definition of public place, it said public place does not mean an establishment license under AS 1738 if the consumption, and then would add the words, is only edibles inside or is only outdoors and the consumption is in accordance with XYZ. So that you have the amendment in front of you, and the effect of the amendment is to make it clear that we mean smoking is for outside, but you can have edibles inside.
Ms. Green.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Glashevsky. I just want to say that when I was making my motion at the last COW, this is how I intended it to be, and I think it had been such a long night that I did not really catch that we weren't...
Right.
That the motion didn't capture what I was intending it to. So thank you for proposing this amendment, Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you. It is what I thought we did, but it got fuzzy there at the end.
Good catch.
So that would be amendment one.
Any objection to Ms. Glashevsky's amendment?
I object.
Okay. Since we have, do you want to speak to your objection?
I would rather us not have smoking outside at all. Edibles, I could accept. I don't want to see marijuana smoking outside. I don't think you can control it.
Okay. So we have an objection, Mr. Bryson.
Can I speak for the motion?
Absolutely.
So I've heard the public testimony tonight, and I'd like to thank everybody that came and spoke about this. We were not debating the legality of marijuana, as we've had multiple discussions about this topic. We were trying to solve a couple of things. We were trying to solve a safe place for any tourists that do come to town to be able to consume. In the statement I made a couple of times, if you don't like marijuana smoke, you should be for this ordinance. This ordinance brings it away from the community. It brings it away from children. I have 5 children of my own. I do not want them exposed to marijuana smoke. That's why I'm for this ordinance as is, because it does pull marijuana smoke out of the streets. Now, I agree, it is not going to completely eliminate illegal smoking, but it is going to pull more smoke away from the streets. It's going to give some people a place to smoke.
Mr. Bryson, I'm going to interrupt. This is just for the amendment now. Are you speaking just for the amendment?
I think the amendment's a very good idea.
Thank you,
Mr. Bryson.
Okay, so on the amendment only now, Madam Clerk, will you note the roll? Will you call the vote? Sorry.
So on the amendment to add the following revision in Section 4 regarding CBJ Code 4220230B4 under the paragraph B, for purposes of this section, public place does not mean an establishment licensed under Alaska Statute 17.38. If the consumption is only edibles inside or is only outdoors and the consumption is in accordance with regulations adopted by the Marijuana Control Board created under Alaska Statute 17.38.080. In favor of this amendment, Ms. Gladyshevsky?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
Becker? No.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Scandies?
Yes.
Ms. Treen?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Okay, so before we get to the main motion, I am passing my gavel because I have an amendment.
Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I could, I'd like to speak to my amendment. I don't have a problem with the edibles, and you can see my vote. I don't care if you're inside or outside eating the edibles. What I do have a problem with is the smoke. And I have talked to some folks in the marijuana industry, so they understand where I'm coming from a little bit. And so this amendment allows vaping only and not smoking. So I don't know if we want to read the whole thing. I'll make the Madam Clerk do that. But anyway, that is my amendment. So the key thing is consumption is only by vaping and is only outdoors. But we have just amended it to we've allowed edibles inside and outside. So that would be my amendment.
So the question is about amendment number 2. Are there any comments about amendment number 2?
Object.
Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Ms. Gladyshevsky. I object to this because I think it is a little too restrictive. We heard at the COW from Ms. Canfield that the state rules do not allow vaping with the use of concentrate, so that really limits the availability, I guess, of product that could be vaped on site. And I also think there are places where you can smoke outdoors in a public establishment. I'm thinking of restaurants that have outdoor seating and that you can smoke cigarettes there, and I don't believe we should be treating them differently, tobacco and marijuana in this instance.
Any other comments about Amendment 2? Are you ready for the question? Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just going to echo Ms. Treem's words. I think we should be treating them equally. And I'm going to be a no vote because I feel like this is unnecessarily restrictive, but I do appreciate where Madam Mayor is coming from. So,
any other comments? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment basically because it completely changes the purpose of the ordinance itself. We're supposed to be considering whether we're going to allow consumption on site. We talked about edibles, we talked about smoking, and we've heard that the regulations against vaping almost ensure that that's not going to be not going to be something that supports those businesses. Thank you.
Ready for the question. Madam Clerk, call the roll.
Thank you, Madam Deputy Mayor. So for amendment number 2, amendment to ordinance 2019-29B, an amendment to only allow consumption of marijuana by vaping outside at a marijuana retail store with an on-site consumption endorsement. Consumption of marijuana inside would be prohibited, and all other forms of marijuana consumption outside would be prohibited at a marijuana retail store with an on-site consumption endorsement. Number 1, revise section 3 regarding CBJ code 36.60.030A2. 2, an establishment licensed under Alaska statute 17.38 if the smoking is only by vaping and is only outdoors in accordance with regulations adopted by the Marijuana Control Board created under AS 17.38.080. 2, revised section 4 regarding CBJ 42.20.230B4. 42.20.230 to read consumption of marijuana in a public place prohibited. Section A, consumption of marijuana in a public place is prohibited. B, for purposes of this section, public place does not mean an establishment licensed under Alaska statute 17.38 if the consumption is only by vaping and is only outdoors in accordance with regulations adopted by the Marijuana Control Board created under Alaska statute 17.38.080. And to include the verbiage, the term vaping has the same meaning as in CBJ 36.60.005. Section 3, add the definition of vaping to CBJ code 36.60.005. Section 5, amendment of section CBJ code 36.60.005 definitions is amended to read, vaping means the use of any non-combustible product that provides a vapor of marijuana to the user or relies on vaporization of any liquid or solid marijuana, or use of an electronic smoking product. This term shall include such devices, whether they are manufactured as e-cigarettes, e-cigars, e-pipes, or under any other product name. And so in favor of this amendment, Mayor Weldon?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandies?
No.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Gladyszewski?
No.
Mr. Edwardson?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
No.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Motion fails.
Madam Mayor, back to you.
Okay. Okay, back to the original motion. Should we restate the motion? It's a short one.
As am I.
So for the adoption of ordinance 2019-29B as amended. Ms. Gladyszewski.
We're not ready for the vote.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's all that reading. Any objections?
Yes. Okay.
Ms. Becker, would you like to speak to your objection?
I think I've spoken and spoken.
All right.
I don't want marijuana used outside or inside, if I have my way, nowhere.
All right, thank
but
you.
I don't have my way, but I'm going to object to this.
Thank you, Ms. Becker. Any other objections?
No objections.
Okay.
I did want to speak, though.
Okay, would you like to speak for the amendment?
I would like to speak for the amendment, and we have a lot of people here that we didn't have in the previous meetings, and I think that they deserve an answer why. I'm in favor of this. One of the reasons is ballot measure 2 did pass. The people of Alaska did vote on this. They wanted marijuana to be legal. They wanted use to be legal. And since then, it just seems to me that government entities have been trying to make that as difficult as possible instead of trying to make it as safe and successful as possible. So whether or not I voted for ballot measure 2, it did pass. And I think we have an obligation to do what we can to these lawful businesses who are trying to do the best they can to find a space for their customers and hopefully solve some of our problems at the same time. So that's why I support it.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I just wanted to also take advantage of the opportunity to speak to some of the people who've testified and some of the people that are here. I wasn't on the assembly at the time. There are some on the assembly that were the smoking ordinance or the no smoking ordinance was a very difficult and very painful process. And I think we can all be grateful that it has passed and that we have smoke-free facilities within Juneau. And I know there are people here who are advocates of being able to smoke marijuana indoors, and there's just not the appetite to open that back up and then introduce people to secondhand smoke, whether it's from cigarettes or from marijuana. I very much support where we're going with this. It doesn't close the door on future opportunities if we want to revisit those at some future time, maybe technology changes, but I think this is a good first direction, first step.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Ms. Blaszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Just briefly, again, I had said earlier that the marijuana is legal. I was looking for a legal place for people to ingest marijuana. Because the ballot measure did contemplate that and at the same time not perturb our smoking ordinance. I completely agree with the people who testified about smoke and the harmfulness of smoke. And I think we can, this is, someone suggested that we be deliberate in what we do, and I think this has been deliberate. The Assembly's talked about it. We're trying to thread that needle to allow a place for people to smoke marijuana, to get them off the streets, without harming other people and without harming our smoking ordinance. So this is an attempt to do that. I think it's a good compromise and a balance to allow smoking outside, and I will vote for it. And perhaps in the future we can thread that needle even further. California was a leader in smoke-free restaurants and smoke-free areas for years, and they are now beginning to thread that as well and allow on-site consumption, and if California can figure it out, Juneau can figure it out too later. But right now, this is a good compromise for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Blaszewski. Anybody else? Ms. Treem, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I think that given my, as this ordinance has worked its way through the process, given my enthusiasm and support, I might have given the impression that I am a big smoker of marijuana, and I'm actually not. I don't like smoking in any way, shape, or form. And I'm very glad that we have our clean air ordinance, and I have never had any intention of amending that or changing it in any way because I very much cherish that ordinance. I'm in favor of this ordinance of allowing on-site consumption because I think we should not be stifling this emerging industry in Alaska and in Juneau, especially when we have such hardworking entrepreneurs who are working to generate revenue that will benefit all of us, and especially since they are possibly targeting the wallets of tourists. So for those reasons, I am very much in favor of allowing on-site consumption.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. Anyone else? I think everyone's spoken on this topic, so we do have an objection. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. So ordinance 2019-29B as amended with amendment number one. Ms. Blaszewski?
Yes.
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Ms. Hale?
Yes.
Ms. Hughes-Candies?
Yes.
Ms. Treem?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion carries.
All right. With that, and thank you all for coming tonight. It's nice to see a full audience. With that, let's take a break for 10 minutes.
Was banned in this particular Virginia school as a racist video. So basically, we're at a point where to talk about historical white supremacy.
You're listening to KTOO Juneau, and the time is 8:10. Currently, We're broadcasting the CBJ Assembly meeting, and KTOO apologizes for the technical difficulties at the beginning of the broadcast. If you want to listen to the full CBJ meeting, it will be available online at ktoo.org.
Native American communities face high rates of domestic violence.
When I asked how many had either missing or murdered family members, I would say at least 40% of the room hands went up.
We'll examine how tribes are struggling to reduce violence. Also, the UK's Conservative Party announces their pick for a new prime minister. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Morning Edition starts at 4 a.m. on KTOO Juno 104.3.
If you encounter a marine mammal that is injured, entangled, or dead, please contact NOAA Fisheries Alaska Marine Mammal Stranding Network. Rescue attempts can be dangerous for both rescuers and the animal, so do not approach or attempt to assist injured or entangled marine mammals on your own. Prompt reporting is the best way to help distressed animals. To report a marine mammal stranding or entanglement, call the NOAA Fisheries Stranding Hotline at 1-877-925-7773. This message brought to you by NOAA.
Tonight are isolated showers after 1 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 55, light and variable wind becoming southeast 5 to 10 miles per hour in the evening. Chance of precipitation is 20%. Tomorrow, showers likely mainly before 1 p.m., cloudy with a high near 65.
Thank you.
Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-23, an ordinance providing for a property tax abatement program to incentivize the development of assisted living for senior citizens.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would create a property tax abatement program for assisted living developments that create 15 or more new residential units for senior citizens. Private developers have expressed that the high cost of construction and operations in Juneau render assisted living projects insufficiently profitable to attract private investment. Without municipal incentives like this ordinance, a new senior assisted living housing project is unlikely. Consistent with state law, AS 2945050M, municipalities that are also school districts may only exempt property taxes in excess of 2.65 mills, which is approximately a 75% tax exemption if the mill rate is 10.66. This ordinance provides a property tax abatement on the full value of newly constructed assisted living units for senior citizens for 12 years. The Committee of the Whole discussed this topic on April 8, April 29, and June 10, 2019. The committee referred this back to the Assembly for public hearing. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. We do have some public testimony on this ordinance. Again, we'll give you 3 minutes. First up, we have Sue Douglas. Please come up and state your name and address.
Good evening. My name is Sue Douglas. I live at 3014 Foster Avenue in West Juneau. Thanks very much for this opportunity to testify on this very necessary ordinance. It's a good ordinance, and I certainly want to express my support for it. As you know, you've heard from me and an organization I'm associated with, Senior Citizen Support Services, Inc., for some of you many years. We've been working hard for 6 years at least to bring to Juneau senior assisted living for our elders who badly need it now and for the long-term future. This ordinance is an incentive, as the manager explained, to help attract developers and operators who indeed want to come here but find it difficult for, again, the reasons the manager explained. It's very difficult here sometimes to develop big projects. The cost of construction, the cost of materials, the cost of lots of things make it prohibitive. So this is a great incentive, and I congratulate you very much for the first incentive that you have already created, which is also very necessary, and that is that the City and Borough purchased the land out at Vintage Park on which an assisted living community can be built. That's a great incentive because it saves a developer that upfront cost immediately of having to purchase the land. It gives them opportunity later to purchase the land back from the city, and that's good business for development. We're really proud of you for doing that. So tonight I ask you to adopt this ordinance. It's a good, clean ordinance. It does what is needed to incentivize further development here, and I'm happy to answer any questions. But before that, I'd like to cheat and make one statement, if I may, sort of out of order. I just want to say publicly congratulations to Bob Bartholomew and on our thanks. Our organization has worked through the years with Bob. He certainly is the best kind of public service employee I think that anybody would want to have. He not only did well with numbers, he played well with people. So I'm real happy for Bob, and I just wanted to say that publicly on behalf of SCSSI. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Douglas. Any questions? Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, and thank you, Ms. Douglas. I don't know how on topic this is, but when you were testifying last year, there was talk about memory care as well.
Right.
And right now we're just talking about senior assisted living, but will this do anything to attract people who might be interested in opening memory care here?
Absolutely. We're hoping that the next step, which will be the RFP that will go out, the competitive solicitation that the city will put out to attract those developers, that will describe to some degree, work to be done yet, what the model will look like. The model we have always advocated for is about 88 units. It would include about 54 regular assisted living, about three levels of care, and it would include 33 memory care. And so very clearly memory care has to be part of this community.
Thank you. Any other questions? Seeing and hearing none. Thank you, Ms. Douglas, and thank you for your tireless efforts of you on behalf of the SCSSI.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have Don Gottschall.
I'm Don Gottschall. I live at 7400 North Douglas Highway, and I'm treasurer at SCSSI and retired hydropower engineer and former construction manager for CBJ. I just calculated I retired about 3 months less than 30 years ago here. Anyway, this project would provide, under the plans that we worked on, about 71 new jobs. Now, this is significant, and we appreciate your work in this, and I'm proud of you for supporting this. It would include positions such as cooks, maintenance people, nurses, nurse assistants, administrative people. And SCSSI, since I signed the checks, we've written checks to the university for four CNAs, certified nurse assistants, last year and this year, trying to get our staff up to date. And we plan to continue doing that. The estimated money that this project will bring into the community, because this is a, we're talking about a tax abatement, is about $25 million. When you go out for an RFP, they could change that up or down a little bit. But that's what we've estimated and found is a feasible project. And that's a significant boost to the community. And this would be done over a fairly short period of years. I mean, like one or two, a couple of years maybe for construction. And then any of the other, there's money in there for a startup. So this proves feasible. We've gone over this before with you probably. With a 70% occupancy, it's still feasible with about a $1.5 million return for the owners per year. We would provide supplemental work, supplemental care for the assisted living memory care that's not included or would be in addition to the Pioneer Home and the Wildflower Court. But it would be memory care and assisted living as planned now. We've worked on this about 6 years directly, and I appreciate your time and consideration and your skills and patience.
Thank you. Any question for Mr. Gottschall? Thank you, Mr. Gottschall. Next, we have Kathleen Strasbaugh.
Kathleen Strasbaugh, Willoughby Ave, 415 Willoughby Avenue, downtown Juneau. You've already heard from two of the community's more dedicated citizen volunteers, but I just wanted to add a couple of things relative to the economic benefits of this, not to mention the humane need to have services in our community that are simply absent. And that when you look at the problem of people having to go leave their homes to get care, and I know it's something you've all considered and leading up to this ordinance and to your assistance to us in trying to get this project off the ground. Putting it in more clinical terms, it's a form of depopulation, and that is something this community cannot afford right now. We are, we're in transition. We don't have as many good state jobs. We have people teetered on the edge of whether to stay or go because the high cost of housing, which this might be applied to later if this is successful, and also the lack of work. And so it's very important that you not lose huge chunks of the community for no good reason. And, you know, that's a number of retirees that those of us that grow older might need this assistance. And we have to look at moving if we can't find anything around it. So just wanted to underline that. I know you've already considered it, but just for the record, that doesn't have a quantifiable economic benefit, but it is an economic benefit. And then one additional thing to consider, and I've heard this discussion before this body before about how when things are difficult, you can't sit with your hands folded and await developments. And one of the things a large construction project does is it keeps the construction industry and the people employed in it hired, keeps their skills up. It's exactly the right thing to do when government spending is declining. And but back to the most important thing of all, this will really help these projects be real. You won't have to have ad hoc negotiations every year like you did with a couple of housing projects. You'll have an account, you have a balance of the 12 years will give you a balance of accountability and realism as to how long it takes to get a large project off the ground. And I encourage you to support it. Thank you very much for all your help over the years.
Any questions? Ms. Hale. Don't run off.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It's really just a thank you to you and to all the members of the SCSSI and the Juno Commission on Aging for your tireless and long-standing work on this. So let's see if we can get this across the finish line.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hale. Next, we have Willis Kirkpatrick.
Madam Mayor, how do you yield my 10 minutes back to Sue Douglas?
Thank you, but I'm not going to allow that tonight. All right. With that, we will bring it back to the assembly. We'll start down there. Mr. Bryson.
I move the ordinance 2019-23, an ordinance providing property tax abatement program to incentivize development of assisted living for senior citizens, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, that moves us on to item C. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-19, an ordinance amending the CBJ codes relating to Planning Commission review of the City and Borough of Juneau real property transactions.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend sections of CBJ code to clarify when the Planning Commission reviews a land transaction between the CBJ and another party. On March 4, 2019, the Assembly authorized Assemblymember Jones to work with staff to identify potential regulatory amendments to make conveying CBJ property more practical and less confusing. This ordinance would remove the Planning Commission review processes for leases and easements of CBJ property and instead require Assembly Lands Committee review. This ordinance would also clarify that Planning Commission review is not required when the CBJ acquires property. Planning Commission would still review any sale or exchange of CBJ property. This ordinance has been reviewed by the Docks and Harbors Board, the Planning Commission, and the Lands Committee. All three committees recommended the Assembly adopt the regulatory changes in this ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move ordinance 2019-19, an ordinance amending the CBJ codes related to Planning Commission review of City and Borough Juneau real property transactions. I ask for unanimous consent, but I'd like to speak to it briefly. I am sorry that Mr. Jones is not here to see this kicked across the road, or down the road, or however you say it, because he put a lot of work into this, and I appreciate that.
Yes, he did. Thank you for bringing that up, Ms. Hale. Mr. Bryson.
I have an objection for the purpose of a question.
State your question.
If a private party was trying to complete a transaction with the Lands Committee, and they found that they did not have a favorable outcome, what kind of recourse would that private party have because right now with the Planning Commission, if they disagree with the Planning Commission decision, they can protest it. So what would be the recourse if somebody has a disagreement with this land or with the land transaction with Lands Committee?
Thank you, Mr. Bryson. Mr. Attorney, you're going to handle that, or are you going to punt it to Ms. McLean?
I will take that one. So as it currently stands right now, if the Planning Commission were to make a disfavorable decision, it would be a recommendation to the Assembly. And so it's not an appealable decision because it's a quasi-legislative process. And so the same approach applies here. The Assembly Lands Committee is just making a recommendation to the Assembly on the topic. And so it would, unless the Lands Committee stopped it and said it's not going any further, it would otherwise go up as a unfavorable recommendation to the Assembly.
Thank you, Attorney Palmer.
Are you?
I withdraw my objection, Madam Mayor.
Any further objection or discussion? Okay, any objection to the motion? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item D. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-20, an ordinance amending the hospital code relating to board appointment, contracts for professional services, and medical records.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would update the hospital code to modernize three provisions. Section 2 of the ordinance adds a sentence with qualifications that the hospital board desires for new appointees. Section 3 of the ordinance amends a professional services contracting provision to comply with federal law. Section 4 of the ordinance updates the preservation of patient medical records provisions to be consistent with Alaska and federal law. Law Department has provided a more detailed memo explaining the background for this ordinance. Hospital Board reviewed these changes on August 29, 2018, and on March 26, 2019, and recommends the Assembly adopt this ordinance. Assembly Human Resources Committee reviewed this ordinance on June 3, 2019, and recommended Assembly adopt this ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hughes-Scandies.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move Ordinance 2019-20 and ask unanimous consent.
Any objection? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to Item E, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-24, an ordinance amending the CBJ codes related to new utility service connections in public right-of-ways.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend the CBJ water code, sewer code, and excavation code to make it easier for private developers to connect to CBJ utilities in a state right-of-way. The South Coast region of the Alaska DOT and public facilities has recently made public utility connections for development adjacent to state rights-of-way nearly impossible again. DOT refuses to let private developers and other state agencies connect to CBJ water and sewer mains in a state right-of-way without the CBJ signing as the developer and promising to indemnify DOT if the private developer or state agency damages the state right-of-way. DOT asserts that position despite the CBJ not being involved in any of the development. DOT supposedly has taken that position because of old sections of CBJ code that have been superseded by recent amendments to Title 49. This ordinance would amend those old sections of CBJ code to clarify that in state rights-of-ways, the private developer is responsible for obtaining the necessary permits and installing utility service lines at no cost to the CBJ. Public Works and Facilities Committee recommended adoption of this ordinance at its meeting on June 10, 2019, the packet for which also contains more detailed memos describing background for this ordinance. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Treen.
I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-24, and I would like to commend Mr. Manager on his very artful memos, and I would like to ask unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Treem. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item F. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-27, an ordinance amending the Land Use Code to extend the sunset date for the downtown Juneau Overlay District.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would amend Article 12, Alternative Development Overlay District, CBJ 4970-1210, by extending the sunset date for the downtown Juneau ADOD for an extra year to August 2020. The purpose of the Alternative Development Overlay District is to provide adequate minimum standards and procedures for the construction of new residential buildings and the expansion, restoration, or repair existing residential buildings while providing time to implement new zoning regulations. This extension provides adequate time for the review and adoption of new zoning for the downtown neighborhoods. Committee of the Whole considered this ordinance on June 10, 2019. Planning Commission forwarded this ordinance to the Assembly for approval at its meeting on June 25, 2019. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move that the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-27, and I ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Brings us to item G. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-28, an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the city and borough to change the zoning of Lot 1A, Emerald 3 subdivision, located at the end of Vista Drive, from a mix of D5 and D18 to D18.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
The Planning Commission, at its regular meeting held on May 14, 2019, recommended that the Assembly approve a request to rezone approximately 27.88 acres near Vista Drive from a mix of D5 and D18 to D18. Planning Commission found that the proposed expansion of the D18 zoning district substantially conforms to the medium density residential designation of the land use maps of the comprehensive plan. Furthermore, the proposed rezone is consistent with the comprehensive plan vision, policies, and its implementing actions, standard operating procedures, and development guidelines, which support increased residential densities when appropriate infrastructure is in place to serve the development. CBA Land Use Code provides certain restrictions for zone change requests. This proposal conforms to these restrictions as follows. One, the request is for more than 2 acres and is an expansion of an existing zoning district. Two, no similar request has been made in the past year. Three, this request substantially conforms to the land use maps of the 2013 comprehensive plan. Planning Commission recommends that the Assembly approve the rezone of the subject parcel from D5 and D18 to D18. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member of the public wish to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move the Assembly adopt Ordinance 2019-28 and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item H. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2019-06A, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $1,100,000 as funding for the Juneau International Airport Terminal Construction Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by the airport funds fund balance and sales tax funds fund balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $1,100,000 to the Terminal Construction Capital Improvement Project, CIP. Fund sources are 2012 sales tax, CIP authorization, $300,000. Airport Fund balance, $800,000. At its June 11, 2019 meeting, the Airport Board approved this action. At its June 12, 2019 meeting, the Assembly Finance Committee approved this action and forwarded it to the Assembly for action. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, Ms. Glashevsky.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2019-06A and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. That brings us to item I. Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Please note your red folders have the corrected version of this ordinance in it. Ordinance 2018-11-AO, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $6,345 as partial funding for the Trail Improvements Capital Improvement Project to design, furnish, and install trailhead and trail marker signage along the Schweitzer Creek Richard Marriott Trail. Grant funding provided by the Juneau Glacier Valley Rotary Club.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate grant funding in the amount of $6,345.31 as provided by all of the Rotary organizations in Juneau, which include Rotary Club of Juneau, Juneau Gastineau Rotary, Juneau Glacier Valley Rotary, Rotary Club of Juneau 58 Degree Innovators, and Capital City Rotaract. No match is required. Juneau's Rotary Clubs have been working with the Parks and Recreation Department and Trail Mix to improve the Schweitzer Creek Richard Marriott Trail, improving over 1,900 feet of trail in the last year. This funding will be used to design, furnish, and install trailhead and trail marker signage along the trail. Public Works and Facilities Committee reviewed this topic at its meeting on May 20, 2019 and referred it to the Assembly. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Mr. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move Ordinance 2018-11-AO, an ordinance appropriating the manager a sum of $6,345 as partial funding for the trail improvements, and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Item J, Madam Clerk.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Ordinance 2018-11-AP, an ordinance appropriating to the manager the sum of $653,744 as partial funding for the Playground Rebuild Capital Improvement Project for the On Sidewalk and Stairway Repairs Capital Improvement Project and the Meyer Drive Force Main Capital Improvement Project. Funding provided by the Risk Funds Fund Balance.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager.
This ordinance would appropriate $653,744 to fund three capital improvement projects resulting from property damage insurance claims. The insurance settlements are playground rebuild, $63,198, sidewalks and stairway repairs, $25,000, Meyer Drive Force Main emergency repair, $565,546. In order to provide funding for fiscal year 19 project expenses, all of these funds will be appropriated from the risk funds fund balance and will be reimbursed to the fund once insurance funds are received. Public Works and Facilities Committee forwarded this request to the full Assembly at its May 20, 2019 meeting. I recommend you adopt this ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Is there any member of the public that wishes to speak to this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to the Assembly. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move Ordinance 2018-11-AP and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. Okay, before we take another break, we'll go through unfinished business. Mr. Attorney.
Assembly Appeal 2019-1, Terraces at Lawson Creek versus TBJ Assessor. This is a proposed decision.
This is a 2019 property tax appeal filed by the Volunteers of America for a multifamily property known as the Terraces at Lawson Creek. The Assembly accepted the appeal, assigned a presiding officer to administer a pre-hearing conference, and established a briefing schedule. The assessor filed a motion to dismiss. After considering the briefing by both parties, the Assembly issued a proposed decision. The Assembly met a few weeks ago to render that decision, and the proposed decision was served on the parties on July 9th, who had 5 days to file objections. No objections have been filed. No testimony or evidence of any nature other than that contained in a timely filed objection may be received by the Assembly tonight. I recommend you adopt the proposed decision as the final decision on this appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. And Ms. Presiding Officer, do you have anything to comment?
No, thank you, Madam Mayor. It is as the attorney said.
Would you like to make the motion then?
I would move the Assembly adopt the proposed decision and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. All right, well, let's take a 10-minute break, and then we will be back.
You're tuned to KTOO Juno and the CBJ Assembly meeting broadcast. They've taken a 10-minute break, and we'll be back to finish out the meeting.
Solar energy has taken off across the U.S. Now, Nashville native Jason Carney wants black communities to know the energy savings and the green jobs are yours to be had, too.
No one controls the sun. You know, if someone could, they would, but they can't. Right now, all you need is knowledge.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly, spreading solar in Nashville on the next All Things Considered from NPR News.
The forecast for tonight calls for isolated showers after 1 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 55. Tomorrow, showers likely, mainly before 1 p.m., cloudy with a high near 65. Wednesday, showers likely, mainly between 1 and 4 p.m., cloudy with a high near 62. Thursday, a 50% chance of rain after 10 a.m. And Friday, a chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 61. The time is 8:55, and the CBJ Assembly meeting is currently taking a break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes.
Item X, new business. Airport terminal reconstruction art panel. Mr. Mayor?
The Juneau International Airport is currently designing the Phase 2 airport terminal reconstruction project. This project must comply with CBJ 6265, artworks in public places, requiring 1% of the construction costs to public art. The airport is looking to incorporate some of the artwork into the building during construction. The art panel was established by the Assembly earlier this year. This spring, the art panel reviewed 35 proposals and selected four artists with work totaling $147,800. Attached memo outlines the four artists, their proposed work, and the costs. The Airport Board concurred with the art panel recommendation at the May 14, 2019 Airport Board meeting. On July 1, 2019, Public Works and Facilities Committee concurred with the art panel selection as outlined. In accordance with the ordinance, the art panel recommendation is forwarded on to the Assembly for final concurrence. I recommend that the Assembly concur with the recommendations of the art panel.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Any member want to speak to this? We'll bring it back to the Assembly. Let's see, where am I? Ms. Becker.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question of the manager, please.
Certainly.
Mr. Manager, seems to me in the past we saw these artist renditions before we voted on. Is there any reason why they're not available to us?
Through the mayor, Ms. Wada would be advised on that, but also Chair of Public Works and Facilities, Ms. Hale, I don't know what information received at that time.
Ms. Hale?
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I don't think we saw any pictures in Public Works. We saw the descriptions, but not the pictures.
Have the works actually been made? Are they?
Well, normally there would be like artist's rendition of what the works would look like, so perhaps Ms. Watto.
Ms. Watto, would you come up, please? See, we're glad we kept you here all night.
Thank you. And I'm speaking also as one of the panelists on the art committee. What was submitted by most of the artists were some ideas. They weren't the actual what they were going to be. There were a few ideas. Some they're still designing so that when they knew where the final place was going to be, whether it was going to be etchings in the window or part of a work going along a soffit, so that they could work on it. But it was based on what they had proposed and then in theory what it would look like, what their concept was. So we did see some concepts, but whether that will be the final rendition or not is based on where it's going to be put.
Okay. Ms. Hale, and then back to Ms. Becker.
Thank you. And I also asked at the Public Works and Facilities Committee meeting, I asked if there would be room available for other artwork other than the 1% pieces, you know, if there would be other artwork, because we're accustomed to seeing a lot of different artwork at the airport, and I was assured that while they might not have the artwork, there certainly is room available. Would you agree with that, Ms. Watto?
Thank you, and through the mayor, if I could expand on that a little bit. What we're talking about with other types of artwork is that we have an art policy at the airport. It's not necessarily acquiring art, but there might be art on loan that we work with the Jack with, and also in the meeting room, which will not be available for that type of work for about 2 years. So it's working through the Jack and working through other borrowed art.
All right, Ms. Becker.
Yeah. I guess hearing from the artists and seeing hearing what they were going to plan, what you conceptually thought, that must have given you an idea that that amount of money was okay. Because that's when you just sort of, you say this much money for something and maybe too much, may not be enough, you know, whatever. But it's sight unseen kind of pain. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Ms. Waddle.
Yes, through the mayor. Yeah, there was one concept, and that was Herring Catch, where they actually had a schematic drawing. But again, it's going to be something that could be expanded or contracted for the price that they were giving us. So we had a pretty good idea of what that was going to look like and a good description. But again, it was how big based on what was available to them for funding and where it was going to be located.
Okay, thank you. Any more questions? Ms. Glashevsky?
No, just a comment. Like Ms. Becker, I recall actually seeing something, even if the artist didn't make a sketch. And I don't want to recreate the panel. I just want to see what it is I'm voting on. Just that's all. And I'm fine with this. But in the future, in general, something that we know what we're voting on, that's all.
Okay, Mr. Edwardson, I think you had your hand.
I know.
Okay.
I just want to say we did see the luminaries before.
Yep.
And we voted on them as a piece of art before they were even accepted as being. So it seems a little strange that this doesn't have any of that. We're voting on them sight unseen.
Okay. Ms. Hale, are you raising your hand or are you waving? Contemplating.
I will say something.
Mr. Edwardson.
I was fine with them, how explained. I mean, the descriptions were well enough. I could envision those. That was fine.
Were you on the committee?
No, I was on the
Peter Well, on that one. Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
And I agree. I felt comfortable with the descriptions as well.
Okay. So, anyway, Ms. Hale will go to you for the motion.
I move that the Assembly concur with the recommendations of the art panel for the airport terminal reconstruction 1% for art, and thank Ms. Watto for staying so long. And I ask for unanimous consent.
Thank you, Ms. Hale, and thank you, Ms. Watto. Any objections? Seeing and hearing none, so moved. And that brings us to staff report. Who's going first? Mr. Watt.
Madam Mayor, this is just a status update on the annexation. Resolution 28-17-8M directed the manager to file an annexation petition for areas described in that resolution. CBJ staff drafted that petition and submitted it for informal technical review to the local boundary commission. In early July, the commission provided helpful recommendations like updating the fiscal exhibits for fiscal year 20, clarifying police services, and clarifying geographic descriptions of the areas. staff has made those changes and is ready to submit the petition for formal review and further public process. It's just a report on where we're at.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any questions for Mr. Watt? Sorry, I'm trying to call you Watt. Mr. Watt. Ms. Hale.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and Mr. Watt. I've been exploring this and talking with some members of the public, and I understand that the community of Angoon was concerned about this. And some of the questions that come to me are, one, this was passed, this resolution was passed in February of 2018, and then it took quite a while to come back to the assembly. And I'm just wondering, it seems like it might have gotten a little stale in that period of time, and why did it take so long? And then I guess related to that is, what was the public process then, and do we need to revisit a public process now, since there might certainly be some staleness associated? It's a year and a half.
Mr. Attorney, Mr. Palmer.
Thank you. So let me see if I can help answer some of those questions. In your red folder, there are some maps that are color. And then in your packet, I will, I'll get to your date questions in a second. In your packet, page 270 is the final report of the CBJ Annexation Study Commission. This was a commission tasked by Mayor Botello in 2005 to study what should happen with annexation in the future if that decision is made. And then on page 289 of your packet, there's an excerpt of the model borough boundary study that was done by the Local Boundary Commission, and it specifically talks about the Juneau boundaries. I describe those because this current process, depending on where you want to start, either started a long time ago or started more recently. The report on page 270 of the packet from this CBJ Annexation Study Commission made recommendations to, at some time, if the assembly were to decide to make annexation a priority, to annex the properties that we are currently proposed, so the areas A, B, C, and D, with one minor exception, Thunder Bay is excluded, that was envisioned to be included. And so you can say that this current process may have started back in 2005, 2006, 2007 era. What happened since then is the CBJ filed a petition to annex the area A and some area south of that, that some of us may recall, that ultimately had competing petitions with Petersburg that went to the Alaska Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court affirmed the Local Boundary Commission's decision regarding the Petersburg petitions, which had some consideration for Juneau's petition. After that decision was rendered, the Assembly reviewed the annexation process and realized that there was an opportunity to annex all the way out to the model borough boundaries, which is essentially what is being done here. I will say it's a slightly different than the actual lines on the model borough boundary. And that difference is namely the current boundaries of specifically areas B and C follow watershed boundaries. And that's a requirement of the Local Boundary Commission regulations that you have to fire, that you are recommended to follow watershed boundaries instead of having arbitrary lines go over geographic areas. And so I think the area B and C boundaries are with the intent of the model borough boundary lines and are consistent. And so if you jump forward a little bit, the Assembly Committee of the Whole in 2016 started the process of deciding what properties to try to annex. That process went for about a year, and ultimately the Assembly Lands Committee unanimously approved forwarding the annexation back to the Committee of the Whole with the areas that are on here, slight differences,
The Committee of the Whole made decisions in 2018, January of 2018. The Assembly held a public hearing on the annexation in January of 2018 and recommended what you see. There was an amendment in February of 2018 to remove Hunter Bay, and there were some other amendments at that time, but that was the one that passed. And then to address the staleness concept, because this annexation petition is different than what was presented in 2012 regarding the triangle near Tracy Arm, staff had to go back and get significant data, and it took the better part of a year and a half to work with the Forest Service, work with the Alaska State Elections Division, to work with the Coast Guard, and to try to get an idea of what properties are out there, what services are provided, where people live, what school arrangements are out on those properties, what the condition of the properties that we could determine through aerial photography. And we had some appeals that we made because we were denied information through public records requests with the Forest Service in particular, that they had to go through an appeal process, and we ultimately prevailed and got a lot of the information that's now the basis of this packet. And so, yes, it was quiet from public view, but staff was diligently working, and there was a staff person from the Lands Division in which this was her almost full-time job for about a year and a half. And so that's a short summary of what led to the prior assembly action to go forward with the annexation petition, and it's up to this assembly if there's a change in heart.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. Mr. Edwardson, and then Mr. Watt.
Okay, is it ripe for my motion yet? Seems like we're diving into exactly what I wanted to move.
Are there any questions first? Okay. Bryson.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. It was brought to my attention that there is a lighthouse organization that controls a 1,500 acres of federal lighthouse land, and I was a little curious what the impact of that organization would be if we were to annex.
Do you want to take that, or do we let Ms. Cosgrove deal with that when she's talking to
I will.
Mr. Attorney.
I'll start off on that one for you. The CBJ has not had or reached out to individual specific private property owners or any specific property owners for that matter. We have tried to reach out to some commercial operators to figure out what type of activities they provided, what type of activities that may be subject to taxation. And the property in particular I believe you're talking about is the Point Retreat Lighthouse and some property around it, so on the Mansfield Peninsula, which would be an Area D on your maps. And without knowing exactly what's on the ground and with the limited information that's come in, there's probably some discussions that property owner and the assessor could have at some point to figure out what might be potential property tax liabilities, which is, I understand, the largest concern that would be, a discussion that they could have. What's a little challenging for the city on this project right now is that we've moved far enough along to proceed with an annexation petition, but because we have not gone through that process and had a lot of public comment and had staff go out on site to look at some of these unique properties, we can't say definitively what will happen. It's a little bit of a public process ordeal that has to occur for that back and forth discussion, and then if the annexation petition would be approved, there would be a transition period for which specific analysis would be done for those property owners. And so I think the opportunity is great for that property owner to have reached out and to start the discussion. I think the assessor and the manager's office can provide some ideas on what might be available. But we're a little information poor right now on the specifics of that property.
Thank you, Attorney Palmer.
Any more questions, Ms. Hale?
I know that I understand from what Mr. Edwardson said that he's got a motion, but I understand that I have not been involved in this process except for hearing about it when I was not on the assembly. But it seems if I were a property owner
I'll back up a little bit. I also am very sensitive to other entities like what Petersburg did, claiming land for their borough. So I'm sensitive to that. But if I were a property owner, I'd be pretty uncomfortable about the idea that we want to annex land, but we don't know what the effects of that annexation will be.
Okay, any other questions? Mr. Watt?
Madam Mayor, back to the question of why did it take so long? I think the answer really is it goes to the Assembly's thinking in around 2016 forward was since it is so much work to do an annexation petition and that we were caught off guard by the Petersburg Borough, the thinking of the Assembly at that time was to do it once and do it for all time. And it's a very data-intensive exercise, and it's just taken a long time. And so I think the thought was rather than do all the work for a residual triangle left by the Petersburg Borough was to set the Juneau Borough boundary and just kind of complete that action.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. All right, Mr. Edwardson.
Okay, I'm going to wind up before I get to my motion. One of the things that I'll say is there's an entire manual on annexation. There's two reasons that you annex. You annex because population increased or because industry increased. None of that's happened in the area. And I don't really want to get into the details. That's why I'm making this motion. I want a future date to where we can actually get into specific details. But the way that the Petersburg decision is used and the way that the model borough boundaries are being explained, I think could probably use some discussion. I disagree with the way that they're represented entirely. But this, again, my motion is on whether or not we address this again, not the merits of the arguments, because that would take too long tonight. First, the Assembly passed Resolution 28-17 a.m. by a vote of 4-5. That was hardly a resounding victory. The Assembly is composed of very different members now, and obviously there's curiosity about discussing this in depth to make sure that either we are doing the right thing or that we stop doing the wrong thing. The members supporting the resolution, by and large, chose not to explain their votes on the record during the hearing, and that was noted by the press, and they were given an opportunity in the press to state their positions, but not on the public record. So I think that would be an opportunity for the supporters to do that. Even the deputy mayor at the time spoke up, or so he said to the press that he should have spoken up in the meeting. Number three, I have yet to find, and this isn't hyperbole or exaggeration, I have yet to find a single person in Juneau that supports this, that's not sitting behind this desk or that wasn't sitting behind this desk. I have not found one. So you consider that there isn't community support. Decisions weren't explained. There wasn't very full discussion. And it wasn't a resounding victory. We have all new members now. And because of all that, our neighbors vigorously oppose this. They vigorously oppose this at a time where we're trying to have unity in the region because basically we're under attack by the state government. So I don't think it's a time to rile people up, especially when there doesn't really seem to be a reason to annex. So that's my opinion, obviously. And I'm not asking people to change their opinions or change their votes, but what I am asking is I move the Assembly to have a resolution introduced at the next Assembly meeting to repeal Resolution 28-17 AM, and basically the reason is to provide a platform, to provide a mechanism to where we can have these discussions and see if the Assembly still supports this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Becker?
Thank you.
Mr. Manager,
is Greens Creek in this unannexed part of this property that we would be wanting to annex?
Mr. Manager?
Madam Mayor, the Greens Creek mine is in the borough, and they are generally moving in the direction of Area C. They are generally moving in the direction of Area C. So I would say they are close to our boundary. And I believe that there is some possibility that continued development could cross the borough boundary.
Cross our borough boundary.
Correct. I don't think that's imminent, though.
Okay. Ms. Glashef.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would oppose the motion. This has been going on for many years, and there is not a perfect answer to this question. The assembly spent over a year and a half in the most recent go-around talking about these things, and I haven't looked up the vote. I recall there was back and forth about B plus C plus D plus which one, and so I don't know how the 5-4 ultimately came out, but some of it was disagreements on bits of boundary. So that's at least my memory. So if we open this up again, we will spend a long time, which and generally people didn't it wasn't a subject in the people's running for office, I don't recall it being brought up. We would just be taking back what prior assemblies did to, in good faith, move forward. I disagreed with some of the decisions that was made when this assembly made them, but I think that it had a good hearing. We heard from the public, and this assembly would need to be re-educated in a long process, and if this assembly wants to do that, that's certainly its prerogative. I would hope that we would move forward, let the local boundary commission begin its process, because this is the beginning of a longer process, certainly not the end, and the boundary commission will take it and continue to move forward, and there will be more discussion in those forums. And so I would hope that we would let the previous decision stand, which again I quibbled with, but think it was a reasonable move forward for the borough to get basically to the model borough boundaries ish. Thank you.
All right, Mr. Edwardson.
Once again, I'll point out I'm asking for a platform to discuss this. We're not going to be doing that probably at 10 o'clock at night after a long contentious meeting. And I think it's worth the time. And one of the reasons that I think it's worth the time is that, at least in the discussions that I took part in, I don't think that there were full and clear discussions, and that's why I voted against it. The thing that I'm going to point out, though, is knowing people in the area and just meeting people in the area, they're scared. They're scared about what this is going to do. Nobody talked to them. There wasn't a public meeting that they were included in. They stand to lose a lot of money. They stand to lose the ability to have the homesteads and the properties that they have over there if we start taxing them. If we don't start taxing them, what are we doing this for? So I think we have in the audience Mr. Denton, who took a $500 helicopter flight to be here today just to listen to this. He's just one of the people who came and is very concerned with this. This hall was stacked with people last year. Not one person spoke in favor of annexation. What are we doing this for? I would like us to say either here's why I'm against it or here's why I'm for it, facing these people that all spoke against this last year.
Okay, Ms. Hill. I think you had your hand. Oh, Ms. Skirt, excuse me, Ms. Hughes Candy, sorry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Sorry, I didn't mean to.
Deer in the headlights. They both start with H. To clarify, Mr. Manager, in response to Ms. Becker's question, if I didn't misunderstand, she asked if Greens Creek is currently within our boundaries, which it is, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, I just want that to be clear. beyond the slow creep of a boundary that it is within our boundary. I recall when this discussion happened very well because I watched it closely as a citizen. And while this room was full and stacked, I will say that as a resident of Juneau, that it did not feel like it had a super long and great public process, which is not to say that it didn't hit its obligations, but I would second Mr. Edwards' comments that I felt like it was not abundantly clear why it was moving forward, even if that was against what I wanted. I would like to take this up as an assembly, so I would be in favor of the motion. I recognize Ms. Gladyszewski's concerns, and I greatly appreciate the amount of time that this has taken from the staff, and I wouldn't want to grind that into the ground and drag out their time. And I think it does make sense that when something takes this much effort that you would undertake to do it once and forever. But that being said, I think this has large consequences, and so I don't think, if it takes a little longer, I think that might be all right. It seemed to me that it's sort of poor public policy with the exclusion of Hunter Bay, and I would certainly, if this does proceed, follow the public process of the Model Boundary Commission closely to see sort of what our justification for that is. But it seemed to be at the time an exclusion based on the loudest voice in the room when many of the residents of Hunter Bay would be some of the most seemingly logical taxable properties, with most of those residents being registered to vote in CBJ. I just wanted to point out that packet page 279 highlights taking into consideration the interests of other communities in this area, particularly the city of Angoon. And the last sentence of that paragraph reads, at such time as the CBJ decides to pursue annexation, it will be critical to initiate a discussion with the city of Angoon community leaders. And I really, as someone who is sitting on the assembly now, don't feel comfortable going forward with this annexation if we have the opportunity to reconsider it, because I believe it's poor behavior as to our southeast neighbors, and the timing couldn't be worse when we really need to be drawing together in this area of the state. So I would speak in favor of the motion.
Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I appreciated the clarification about Hunter Bay. That apparently was a vote by a prior assembly to exclude Hunter Bay. That helps me understand it. I also appreciate Ms. Gladyszewski's description of the process that has occurred, and I would think that we would want to, I personally would am not an advocate for necessarily reversing a decision of a prior assembly, particularly after a public process. So I don't support Mr. Edwardson's motion because I think that it could set us back pretty significantly. This is a tough topic. I would really like there to be some kind of public process going on. As Ms. Huskandes says, we haven't even reached out effectively to Angoon. As Mr. Benson says, we have not contacted property owners. So I would advocate that we, and Do you want me to stop, or do you want me to finish?
Can you stop and let them answer the question so
yes.
far? Mr. Watt.
Madam Mayor, I just want to characterize the effort to reach out to the community of Angoon.
Thank you.
We did make substantial effort to reach out to the community of Angoon. We offered to meet. We offered to visit. We had arranged a visit, and then that visit was declined. So I would say that it is not fair to characterize Juneau's effort with regards to Angoon as anything less than completely open and collegial. So I think that needs to be corrected.
Thank you, Mr. Watt. I really, really appreciate that. And this is part of the problem, I think, for some of the newer assembly members is that we're coming in not having been in the process. So I appreciate that clarification.
The second clarification is that you have a little bit of a chicken and egg issue here. In order to find out who has property in potential areas for annexation, you need to do the work to investigate that issue. So we didn't know who had pockets of land here and there in these areas until we did the research for the annexation petition. We certainly held public meetings. There's certainly opportunity for Juneau citizens to see what we're doing in the paper. Certainly other communities saw. It was widely reported on. But until we actually did the work to find out who those property owners were, we didn't really even have a catalog of that until recently. And I think for that reason, the Boundary Commission itself has an extensive public process. Either Mr. Palmer or Ms. Cosgrove might be able to illuminate a little bit more about the Boundary Commission's public process, but certainly that really has only just begun. So I think through the assembly decision of what areas to pursue, it was incumbent on people to watch us because we couldn't know who they were. And now through the Boundary Commission's process, there'll certainly be a lot more public process.
If I could finish.
Is it a follow-up or a new question? If it's a follow-up, you get to finish. If it's a new question, Mr. Edwardson's in front of you.
Well, I was interrupted, and so I can't grab myself where I was, so I'll stop for the moment.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Edwardson.
I'll just point out, I think it's important that Ms. Hale understands just as much depth as she would like, and the other members as well. And they're not going to just after the result of this meeting, and that's why I'm making this motion. But I will go back. I'll take us back about a year and a half, where I said something to the effect that we don't want to jump into this and spend a whole bunch of work on it just to turn around and find out it was the wrong thing. I said that about this. I said that about other subjects, at least three other subjects. And the reason is it's a bad decision-making process called sunk costs. You start dumping time and resources into something. You may not be ready to do it, but you don't want to call it quits because you have so much invested. So I have no sympathy for the costs that we have put in. I don't think we got it right last year. I feel sorry for the fact that people dumped as much work as they did into it, but we're still here. There's still no support. We still have people angry for us. And you may know people who support it. I don't know those same people. So I'll say the same thing. I think this deserves a long discussion, and the only way that I can figure out to have a long discussion is to have a motion on repeal. Chances are it might lose, but it will provide the opportunity for a discussion. It will provide the opportunity for public comment. And that's what I want, the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Ms. Hale, are you back at it?
I'm back at it.
Okay,
sorry. a related question, and Dave Benson, who is the manager of the Point Retreat Lighthouse, is here if we have any questions for him. And so this is, in a sense, perhaps a question for Mr. Watt or Ms. Cosgrove. How can we as an assembly, have any certainty? And how can Mr. Benson and his organization have any certainty in the tax implications for their 1,500-acre parcel? And if that were taxed, the organization would no longer be able to exist. So how can we have that kind of certainty? Mr. Benton, I'm so sorry. I said your name. No, I just said your name wrong.
Madam Mayor, if I might just comment.
Ms. Cosgrove.
I don't know that we can offer today any particular assurances to Mr. Benton to say this will be the outcome. So what I can say is properties within the newly annexed area, if approved by the process that we were going through, would be subject to property tax. There are property of the general mill rate off the roaded system, which is the same that Shelter Island plays and people up Taku, which I believe is 6.7 mills at this point. There are many exemptions to our property tax rules, if you will. Mr. Benton is involved with a nonprofit, a 501c3, with the Point Retreat Lighthouse. We've just started to look at his issues to see whether or not that property would be subject to property tax. There are ways that it could possibly be excluded. He just shared with me, he spoke with Mr. Gillette earlier. Mr. Gillette is involved with the Sentinel Island property. The Sentinel Island property is excluded from property tax. I can't make any guarantees right now. I don't have enough information. But his situation is not necessarily different than any of the other people that might be newly contained within those boundaries, people who own property on Horse and Colt, people who own properties in other areas. If they go into the borough and there isn't an exemption, they would be subject to that base rate of property tax. So I don't know if that's helpful or not. I know it doesn't answer his underlying question, and we can't do that sitting here tonight.
All right, Mr. Bryson and then Ms. Dream.
Once again, I'm hoping that I can offer a solution. As a new assembly member, I don't have enough information. I don't even know how to feel about this. But at the same time, I don't necessarily know how I feel about undoing the work of previous assemblies. And I have a little bit of an issue with that because I thought about how I would feel if the next assembly started undoing some of the work that this assembly has done. Is there a way that we can maybe make a friendly amendment, not so much that we stop or do a repeal right now, but we table it so that we can get additional information? I don't know how I'd properly phrase that, but I would really love to get a little bit more understanding about it. I feel like I don't have enough information to make an informed decision right now, and that's what's been troubling me as I've been listening to everybody talk. Is there a way that we can postpone this so that we can have that full discussion with lots of information and bring all the newbies up to speed?
Mr. Watt, you want to try and tackle that?
I'm sorry, I mean new assembly members. Sorry.
Madam Mayor, as Mr. Palmer alluded to earlier, you can pick this issue up really at any point in time. And if an assembly member or member of the public wants to know more about annexation, then they're going to need to commit a lot of time to reading historical documents. And you really have to go back to 1963, when the Greater Juneau Borough first was incorporated, because it's that long, long view, and you have to go read the Petersburg annexation petition and figure out why Petersburg formed and why Sitka formed and why Haynesboro formed, you know, and all these boundary issues, and it's detailed and weedy. So there's really no obstacle to doing that. I think what the prior assembly found was that this was a very, very difficult decision. And I think the deputy mayor said there's no one right answer. And I think you would find that true today. There are multiple answers. and the Boundary Commission has a role to play. Ms. Cosgrove has noted that there in the onboarding packet for assembly members that there is a briefing on this topic, so there's probably some of the recent information on that. I think what you hear tonight is, you know, it's a bit of a philosophical discussion. It's a little bit of a detailed discussion. And I will offer that it's complicated, but the overlying question here is the whole concept of boroughs. So when the state formed and they adopted the Constitution and they envisioned the borough form of government, this is kind of the model that they've offered for the development of the state. And we are where we are, but this could be a lot of effort for the assembly to try and become educated about the full history of this. I guess that's all I would really have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Watt.
Ms. Treem.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Can one of you over there kind of explain what the process is going forward? Because I get the sense that part of the reluctance here is maybe a feeling that the public has not had enough input. And from my understanding, CBJ and this assembly is not the final decision maker here. There's a possibly long process after this with I don't know what the LBC part is, but I know that the legislature will be involved. And I'd just like to understand what that process will be.
Mr. Turney.
Sure. So there's a long process. If the current resolution stands,
Okay, but I'm going to talk for you.
The formal petition will be filed with the local boundary commission. Staff at the local boundary commission undertakes another technical review. Hopefully, that goes quickly. Their regulations provide some time frames as a maximum duration that they can undertake the review. That then comes back for us to make any changes. I'm hopeful that there's not going to be significant changes or any changes. And then there's a much longer public process at that point where there has to be at least one more public meeting where people in the proposed properties to be annexed and the current borough get to see what's being proposed, get to see more details at that point, and get a little certainty as to say, you know, these are the services that will be provided. Yes, there would be some taxation liability for some properties, but you get the picture at that point. And how that public meeting is set up is not clearly defined, so there's a lot of opportunities there. And whether it's held in this room, whether it's held in Centennial Hall, I think there's a lot of options. And then ultimately, there's a long hearing in front of the local boundary commission. The last time we went through this with Petersburg, I believe it was close to 2 weeks of a public hearing in front of the local boundary commission. And then the local boundary commission makes a recommendation. And that recommendation then gets, assuming there's some part that they recommend annexing, then that gets forwarded to the legislature. And this is the part that's a little odd. That recommendation has to be forwarded within a certain time frame of the beginning of the session. And so, you know, depending on how long this process takes, the goal is to get it in front of the legislature in January of 2020, but it might take until January 2021. And once it's there, the legislature has a short period of time to affirmatively disapprove of the petition. And so the legislature, if they want to do anything, they would stop it by taking action. If they don't take action, then it goes through. That kind of paints the big picture overview. There's a lot more details that we can get into if that's requested.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney. So everybody has chatted, so I'm going to weigh in, and then it's Ms. Hale and then Mr. Edwardson. So I was part of the assembly that voted on this, too, and I would have to agree with Ms. Gladyszewski. A lot of the 5-4 vote was not necessarily should we annex. It had to do with different pieces of whether what parts we should annex. And the question is, why should we annex? And I will disagree with Mr. Edwardson on that. The reason we should annex is why our boundary was drawn in the first place. These weren't just lines drawn willy-nilly to say, oh, we should do this. These are protecting ore bodies, and ore bodies are important to Juneau. A lot of our economy is on our two major mines, and this could be potential expansion for these, for one mine in particular and another mine to be potentially started. So that's why I see it as a compelling reason. And as with all the residential property, I get it. I own a cabin in Taku. And at some point, I think we should look at should these recreational properties be taxed as much, although keep in mind that they're not paying the full property tax because they're outside road and service area, so it's not as significant. And we are working with the Lighthouse Association, so hopefully we can find a solution for that. And any other nonprofit out there or conservation land, I hope we can find a solution for that. But you've heard already that we've gone through an extension. I think in my whole time here was 2 years of doing this. So this isn't something that you're going to hear about in one meeting and solve your problem. You're going to have to see it for a long purpose of time. And I think the Assembly's already weighed in on this. So that's my big thing. And you've also heard from the attorney, this isn't the end of this. This is going to the Local Boundary Commission. They'll have public process. It will go to the legislature. They can have public process. There's still a lot of public process. And I'm very sensitive to Ann Goon, but I was one of the ones that reached out initially to the first mayor. It was not the mayor at this time. And she and I had conversations about this. We had planned a trip down there. I was going to be included in that trip. And then they chose not to have us down there. So we have reached out. And unfortunately, Ann Goon is not in a position right now to become a borough. We have waited time to see if they could do that, and they have not. So they can't claim the land until they're a borough. And why we need to take it on is we learned our lesson in Petersburg. Petersburg took part of our land. Sorry, Ms. Dream. And we lost part of our hand. There is another entity forming a borough right now that is looking to claim some land. And again, we don't want to wait and let them claim the land that we're trying to protect. And we're trying to protect ore bodies, I'll be honest. So with that being said, Ms. Hale and then Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor. And I just want to, as a former state official who actually dealt with a lot of problems that arose from the fact that Alaska does not have counties, and because Alaska does not have counties, there are many people in boroughs or unorganized boroughs that simply rely upon the state to do what counties do in other states. So I've long been an advocate for organized boroughs. I think I'm coming to this situation in particular, one, because it kind of was sprung on us as an assembly. I understand now the process. But in general, I am an advocate. I am eager for more public process around this. But I agree that boroughs are a good idea. And the areas for expansion make sense to me. They're more closely associated with Juneau than any other community that I could see.
Thank you, Ms. Hale. Mr. Edwardson.
Thank you. Do you mind if I cover a few subjects? Because I've been wanting to respond to people as we went along. Okay. Local Boundary Commission has a public process. It's their public process, not ours. So when our citizens go before the Boundary Commission, they'll be fighting the full weight of the CBJ government in a process to take over a certain amount, the part of the bundle of sticks of their land. They'll be fighting us. So that's just the way that it works. Instead of listening to them and saying, hey, what are your concerns? We're basically going to bring them to court and say, we're going to take your stuff, fight it. This is your process. That just doesn't make sense to me. As far as willy-nilly, I'm still waiting on seeing some evidence that there's ore bodies or that we would have access to it. So I'm open for the evidence, but we didn't see it last time. I don't see it tonight. And this is one of the reasons why I would rather have a process to where we get information. As far as the Petersburg thing, we keep bringing up the Petersburg thing. I encourage everybody to read all the information possible, including the Supreme Court decision, where they said the Juneau arguments were wrong, and they explained each and every each and every reason why they were wrong. One of the ones, and we talked about it earlier, is the model borough boundaries. Go to the local boundary commission site, print off the document on the model borough boundaries, and read the whole thing. They were never meant to establish a claim to land. What they were questionnaires that were sent out to people to say, what do you think the boundary should be? Read the document itself. Read the Supreme Court decision. And I would say I have hundreds of hours into this. And the reason I have hundreds of hours into this is we're talking about taking drastic action against people's property. If that doesn't deserve our time, what does? Do we want to get out of here early? Do we want to understand it just enough? What is just enough? So the idea that it's going to be hard to find out what it is that we're making these huge decisions on, well, I think that's our job. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson. Any other comment? Okay, seeing and hearing none. Do you have the motion, in Ms. McEwen, or do we need to ask Mr. Edwardson to say it again?
The motion from Mr. Edwardson is to repeal Resolution 2817 AM and to bring that resolution, repealing Resolution 2817 AM to the next assembly meeting so that there's a mechanism to see if the assembly still supports this.
Is that your motion, Mr. Edwardson?
I could repeat it if you like.
Yes, if you have it in writing, that would be even better.
Okay, I could send it to you, but I'll read it for now. I move the assembly to have a resolution introduced at the next assembly meeting to repeal Resolution 2817 AM.
Okay, thank you.
All right, are you good, Madam Clerk?
The motion is to have a resolution introduced at the next assembly meeting to repeal Resolution 2817 AM. Is that accurate?
Yes.
All right, we had objections, so would you call for the vote, please?
Mr. Edwardson?
Yes.
Ms. Bladyshefsky?
No.
Ms. Hale?
No.
Ms. Hughes-Scandes?
Yes.
Ms. Treen?
No.
Ms. Becker?
No.
Mr. Bryson?
Yes.
Mayor Weldon?
No.
Motion fails. 3 aye, 5 nay.
Okay, so the resolution as it stands already had the blessing to move on, so with the motion failing, it will move on. To make sure everybody's clear on that. So let's take till 10 after for a break. Thank you.
You're tuned to KTOO Juno, and we're listening to the broadcast of the CBJ Assembly meeting. They've gone on a 10-minute break. They'll be back about 10 after the hour. Tonight, isolated showers after 2 a.m., increasing clouds with a low around 55. Tomorrow, showers likely, mainly before 2 p.m., cloudy with a high near 65. Wednesday, showers likely mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. Thursday, 50% chance of rain after 11 a.m. Friday, a chance of rain, cloudy with a high near 61.
We'll start with the mayor's report. I've actually been traveling quite a lot, notably to Scotland with my younger son Tyler. So I actually missed the last assembly meeting. And a big.
Did you want to know, Mr. Bryson?
Oh yes.
Okay, it's on the phone.
And a big chunk of that. And we will note on the roll that Mr. Bryson had to leave us as his daughter's heading off to Peru. So he wanted to spend her last evening with him. Not that there's much left of it. So, anyway, upon my return, I marched in the parade in Whitehorse with Mayor Curtis as part of Canada Day. And they were so thrilled that a contingent of our police officers and I went up that they sent a plane load of Mounties to come down to our 4th of July. So hopefully more of the assembly members can join me next year, and hopefully we can get Mayor Curtis to come down here. So I learned a lot about their system, and it is very different. I got back in time for our Independence Day, and I hope everybody had a fun, safe holiday. My activities have been, I attend Eagle Crest Public Meeting on their summit expansion plans, and thanks to Dave Scanlon for his enthusiasm and presentation, and it was nice to see so many Eagle Crest board members there. I also attended the Red Cross Diversity and Inclusion Training, and thanks to the Red Cross Association and the C. Alaska Heritage Institute, it was at the Walter Soboloff Building. Checked in at the very end of the airport disaster drill, and it looks like they had a very successful drill, and they learned a lot, and it just aids in our readiness. So thanks to all who participated, both as volunteers and as rescuers, including the EOC. I attended the Filipino Scholarship Night, and this was a great event. And I think they said they gave out about 45 scholarships, which is pretty impressive. And I appreciate their dedication to education. Senator Keel was their keynote speaker, and it was really good to catch up with him. And as they said there, he keeled his presentation. Today, I attended the USS Juno Memorial event, which featured Ashley DeRamos. Ashley has sung the national anthem and said the Pledge of Allegiance in all 50 states as of today.
Oh, cool.
She is the first one to do this with Down syndrome and is an advocate for those with special needs. And we are honored that she chose Juno to collect her 50th state certificate. And thank you to Carl Yucatel, our port director, and the Docks and Harbor staff for setting up the event. The weather cooperated beautifully. We have been busy in the city hall with trying to figure out our financial plans for the future with what's going up on the Hill. The House was in session briefly again tonight, and I think they'll start again up at 10:30 tomorrow morning. So working on trying to solve the problem. So looking ahead, July 30th at 4:30 at the General Yacht Club is Alaska National Guard Veterans Appreciation Dinner. And it's also the 100-year anniversary of the American Legion, who hosts the event. I am unable to attend, so if anybody would like to say a few words of that, please let me know after the meeting. And other activity that's coming ahead at August 6th is National Night Out. This is a community-oriented celebration which aims at crime and drug awareness and prevention. And you can learn more about this event on JPD's Facebook page. And this is where the officers and the police officers and the fire department go into neighborhood community and talk with the neighborhood association. So it's kind of a fun event. So, and then I was asked to check with Public Works Chair Ms. Hale on where the committee is on the Amalga Fish Cleaning Station and Dock Extension item. So if you would include that in your report, Ms. Hale, I'd appreciate. And that's all I have for tonight. So we'll start down there. Ms. Hale.
Ah, well, thank you. I'll go ahead and start my report with that. So the Amalga project has not been before Public Works and Facilities for some time, but I know they're working on it, so I will make a request and make sure that this comes back and we know what's going on with it. I understand that the Docks and Harbors Board has modified their idea of adding fish cleaning stations, and that was a big issue. But I will get that back before Public Works so we know what's going on with it.
Thank you, Ms. Hepp.
You're welcome. Public Works upcoming, we are going to have some information about a heat pump project. This has been a priority for JCOS, and this is a sort of a spin-off group that has a heat pump proposal. We're also going to be finding out about how the $250,000 for JRES implementation, how that's supposed to, or how Mr. Vigue of the Public Works Department is planning that to be spent. Everything else that's been going on in Public Works has ended up here at the Assembly, so you all know all about it, and I don't need to let you know. Hospital, have a board meeting tomorrow. Juno Commission on Sustainability, we've kind of kicked off the
looking at the actual resolution that established JCOS and making sure that we kind of understand the framework to look at the activities of JCOS. It's a very busy commission, and they do a lot, and so I'm trying to work with them to make sure that we can be more focused. I'm also trying to look at those goals per the resolution as a framework to help inform the assembly goal setting next December, so that we can maybe have some more concise goals and measurable goals coming out of JCOS. And I think that's good.
All right, thanks, Ms. Hale. Ms. Hughes-Gandy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended a Juneau Commission on Aging meeting. Chuck Bill gave a great presentation and was got so many questions that they're going to have him back at some point. The newly appointed members attended of the commission, and we had several members of the public there, and it was just a great example of how great that group is. They're really committed to their mission. And they're continuing to work on preparing the survey that's coming up, and they've got a lot of energy and drive. The Sister Cities Committee was rescheduled to this coming Thursday, so they didn't have that last week. The last Downtown Business Association meeting I was unable to make because it was during a day job deadline. And Lisa Parody was welcomed as a new board member, and they're all pretty busy as the season is in full swing. I also attended the panel on diversity and inclusion the Red Cross put on. That was great. Good reminder that we can and should all stretch a little further. I also attended the scholarship presentation at the Filipino Community Hall, which those kids, very inspiring go-getters. I guess I was just stalking the mayor. And I also attended the Filipino community picnic at Sandy Beach, and that was a great time. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Ms. Hughes-Gandy. Ms. Dream.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The Aquatics Board has had a lot of action, which I believe some of which Mr. Edwardson will report, so I won't steal his thunder. But I would like to thank outgoing Aquatics Board members Becky Monagle, Joe Parrish, Richie Dorier, Max Mertz, Charlie Williams, and Phil Losby for their service on the Aquatics Board. I think many of them were on there for longer than they intended to be. The next Aquatics Board meeting is July 23rd. That's tomorrow, isn't it? I should put that on my calendar. And there will be a lot of new faces there. The July Travel Juneau meeting has been rescheduled to August 2nd. I had a kind of a busy month. On June 27th, I attended an entrepreneur meetup, which is a semi-regular event. This one was held at the Rendezvous, which is under new ownership, and it was great to meet the new owners and see the new space and what they're doing with it. It looks really nice in there. On July 8th, I attended the Save Our State rally and really appreciated the remarks by Mayor Weldon and Mr. Jones. On July 18th, I attended the Eagle Crest public meeting as well. I'm very impressed with Mr. Scanlon's presentation abilities, and his PowerPoint slides are gorgeous. And I also attended the Filipino Community Scholarship Night. I want to give a big congratulations to the parents and the students. Those were some very accomplished students. It was very impressive. And finally, I received a text message from Mr. Jones earlier tonight. He said he misses us, but not that much, and he was having a beer with his sons, so I actually don't think he misses us at all. And that's my report.
Thank you, Ms. Dream. Mr. Edwardson, the Human Resources Committee has been busy.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Actually, most of the announcements were made at the special meeting, so I won't include those tonight, which makes the presentation a lot shorter. So before this meeting, we had the regular Human Resources meeting, and we made appointments to the, or we made, we have recommendations for appointments to the JCOS. Those are as follows: Lisa Doherty, Duff Mitchell, and John Smith for terms beginning immediately and ending June 30th, 2022, and Ayura Liahu for a term beginning immediately and ending June 30th, 2021. She'll be filling a recently vacated position.
Okay, any objections to those confirmations?
He is a he.
He.
Sorry.
I called him Laura.
You're the he?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, okay. I spelled it wrong.
Even with the change noted, any objections to any confirmation? So, seeing, hearing none, they are appointed.
Thank you. We also received the annual report for JCOS. It wasn't all that extensive, but it was information filled. They've had a very packed year, and I think they deserve kudos for all of their hard work, as we know.
Absolutely.
They've done a lot of work, and they inspired assembly goals this year, which we incorporated into our goal making at the beginning of the year. We also got a written report from the outgoing aquatics board. It's pretty extensive. It covers what they've done in the past year, but it's also kind of a retrospective over the past 4 years. And I think it's pretty impressive what they've accomplished. And the new aquatics board is ready for the next step. There's two members continuing on the aquatics board, and I think the others are all new. Is that correct? So that's for those meetings. I also attended the Douglas Parade. I didn't even try the Juneau Parade this year because every time we've tried the Juneau Parade, we've never made the Douglas Parade. So we did just Douglas this year, and I'll have to say that it reminded me of childhood 4th of July in Ketchikan, which means it was pretty darn fun. I also went to the Save the State rally. They said, they being the news, said there's about 750 people there. I think there was more. But that's probably pretty safe to say that it was 750. Let's see, we also discussed amendments to the assembly rules of procedure, and we've the HRC has referred those to the Committee of the Whole. And those are Rule 4, legislation, assembly member presentation. I'll go into however much depth that you want, but it is 10 o'clock. And also Rule 5, committees. And what that is just removing the aquatics board from the Rule 5 requirement to have the full assembly appoint the members. And that's my report.
Thank you, Mr. Edwardson, and congratulations for being the only male up here. You're doing a fine job.
I represent.
Well, I'm going to keep talking then.
That's a familiar thing for us.
There you go. So, Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. She has a $20 bill fund fast. Was that right?
No.
Lands Committee, our next meeting is July 29, Docks and Harbors. I miss a lot of their operation meetings because someone keeps calling these meetings on Wednesday night. I have to go to those instead. But our next meeting of Docks and Harbors is July 25. The committees that I serve on and other things I've done, the Chamber, had that wonderful talk by Davis Cameron on Eagle Crest. It was great. He did a good job. Senator Keel spoke at this last chamber. I went to the chamber board because I'm their liaison, and I just tell them what we're doing, and I can make up anything because none of you are there. campus council, we've had a couple of times of discussing the budget for the university system. Alaska Committee mainly talked about the fairs in Palmer and Fairbanks. They, at the last meeting, still needed two people to go to Palmer, I think it was, but I think they have them. I hope they have them now. I stayed up for the fireworks on the 3rd. They were great, and you know what was so great about them? It was kind of quiet because there weren't all those other fireworks everywhere. That was very pleasant. There are a few people who broke the law, but not as many as usual. I did not make it to the 4th of July parade, but I did go to Douglas, and it was great. Went to the Filipino picnic and to the rally at the Capitol, and Marilyn Miller's funeral service. If you remember, Mike Miller was in our legislature for many years. That's his wife. And she died recently. Did I make it? Really, children?
Yes, we all done it. Ms. Glaszewski.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. A plane load of Mounties. I'm sorry I missed that. really sorry I missed that. I missed all the 4th of July festivities, unfortunately. I was on the North Slope. I was in Kotzebue taking photos of caribou. Got to see Reggie Jewell do a backflip on the blanket toss.
Fourth of July. Is there video evidence of that?
Yes, there is. I have it right here. I can show it to you. We had committee of the whole meetings, two this month, and being tradition, but we can't go a week without meeting. We'll have again next week. So we had a meeting Monday, July 8th, talked about a lot of things on the agenda today. Also, Peterson Hill subdivision update about how to sell those lots. We talked about marijuana, and we talked about the governor's vetoes. We talked about Centennial Hall and New Jack, and since we weren't done, we talked about it again at another meeting on July 15th. And then today is this Monday, and then next Monday we'll talk about it again on the 29th, because we like it a lot. So that's it. That's it, and I'll show you the video, and thank you, Madam Mayor, for the time.
Thank you. Mr. Edwardson, do you have something to add?
Yeah, I forgot one thing. Ms. Becker reminded me of it. Wednesday, August 1st, HRC interviews for Eagle Crest Board.
Thursday.
Thursday the
1st. Tell me Thursday. Tell you again the date.
Wednesday the 1st. We're going somewhere.
Thursday the 1st.
Thursday the 1st.
And that's at 5:30.
I think Ms. Cream is right. I think it's Eagle Crest and the airport. We were going to do the airport in the last one, but we didn't have enough applicants, so we extended it. So I believe it's going to be Eagle Crest.
Can I just do
that? What time?
No.
5:30?
Not Eagle Crest. You just did Eagle Crest back in June. You did Docks and Harbors. You did Aquatics. And this time it's the airport, and that's the August 1st.
Just the airport.
Okay. Mm-hmm. August 1st,
5:30. In room 224, because there's going to be a hearing.
Okay.
On the 4th. Madam Mayor, I have to send my apologies. I cannot come to that meeting. I will not. But I do love the airport.
I would be at the airport.
All right. I thank you, Ms. Treem and Mr. Edwardson. I wrote on my hand aquatics as soon as I was done talking, because I did want to say thank you very much for that. It was a very dedicated board that went way over their terms to try and get that all solved. And so I appreciate their effort on that. That was a tough board. So I'm hoping that the new blood will be well received, and they'll have great success from here on out. So with that, any further? Everybody shaking their head. Anything further from staff?
I might, Madam Mayor, just announce that our candidate filing period will be open for our next assembly meeting. It will be 8 a.m. on Friday, August 2nd, closing sharply at 4:30 p.m. on Monday, August 12th. The forms for nominating petitions and candidacy forms are on our website or available through the clerk's office. Come see us. We're happy to take your candidate nomination petitions.
All right. Thank you, Madam Clerk. Nothing further from anybody else. We are adjourned.
Phew.